The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, January 12th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, starting this week and running through at least Inauguration Day, armed protests are being planned at all 50 state capitals and at the U.S. Capitol, according to an internal FBI bulletin obtained by ABC News. In addition, the FBI received information in recent days on an identified group calling for storming state, local, and federal government courthouses and administrative buildings in the event Donald Trump is removed as president prior to Inauguration Day. The group is also planning to storm government offices in every state on January 20th, regardless of whether the state certified electoral votes for Biden or Trump. The FBI bulletin included a map that showed the extent of law enforcement activity related to potential threats surrounding election certification and the inauguration. Ed Farrell, the former deputy U.S. Marshal in Chicago, said regular law enforcement will need National Guard backup at some locations. Army General Daniel Hawkinson, chief of the National Guard Bureau, told reporters Monday that the Guard is also looking at any issues across the entire country. As of Sunday, approximately 29 individuals and or social media accounts of individuals who unlawfully entered the U.S. Capitol had been identified. The FBI has received nearly 45,000 digital media tips and are now being reviewed. A New Jersey congresswoman tested positive for COVID-19 following Wednesday's Capitol lockdown. Representative Bonnie Watson Coleman, who is 75 years old, says she believes she was exposed during protective isolation in the U.S. Capitol building as a result of the riots. A number of members within the space ignored instructions to wear masks, said Coleman. They were encouraged to put their masks on. Unfortunately, it was not mandated, and it should have been mandated, she said. If they refused to put masks on, they should have been kicked the heck out of that room, she added. Video posted on Punchbowl News shows Delaware Congresswoman Lisa Blunt Rochester passing out masks to colleagues, some who refused to wear them. Watson Coleman is experiencing mild cold-like symptoms and is resting at home. Officials say Watson Coleman, who is a cancer survivor, is isolating and awaiting results of the PCR testing. She previously received the first dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine, which has been made available to members of Congress, the Supreme Court, and executive branch agencies for the purpose of continuing government operations. Watson Coleman said that this was a super spreader between all of the people that breached the house, for all of the people that were quarantined in one room, and for all of the people that wouldn't keep their masks on. That was just asking for trouble. She represents New Jersey's 12th congressional district, which includes Trenton and Princeton. Several gorillas at the San Diego Zoo Safari Park tested positive for coronavirus in what is believed to be the first known cases among such primates in the United States and possibly the world.
I turn fierce, though, girls.
The park's executive director, Lisa Peterson, told the Associated Press on Monday that 8 gorillas that live together at the park are believed to have the virus and several have been coughing. It appears the infection came from a member of the park's wildlife care team who also tested positive for the virus but has been asymptomatic and did wear a mask at all times around the gorillas.
So I know they're really like, because they had a case with a tiger. Remember that? It was a while ago. So so all like zoo employees are like, they're very strict on them wearing masks.
But
the gorillas still got it. So they think the gorillas might have gone to a block party.
They think they were at a rave.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like an underground rave that people didn't know about.
You know how gorillas do it, man. Yeah. You got to love that.
The park has been closed to the public since December 6th as part of the state of California's lockdown efforts to curb coronavirus cases. Veterinarians are closely monitoring the gorillas and said that they will remain in their habitat at the park for now. They are being given vitamins, fluid and food, but no specific treatment for the virus. Aside from some congestion and coughing, the gorillas are doing well, Peterson said. They are continuing to eat and drink. While other wildlife contracted the coronavirus from minks to tigers, this is the first known instance of transmission to great apes, and it's unknown if they will have any serious reaction.
They said the real problem has been teaching them to Zoom because they keep eating the keyboards.
The San Diego Zoo plans to share what it learns with health officials, conservationists, and scientists to develop steps to protect gorillas in the forest of Africa. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Eagles fired head coach Doug Peterson, ending a relationship that delivered the first and only Super Bowl title in the city's history.
What the f-
is this?
Peterson was expected to remain as coach despite a 4-11-1 finish this season, but multiple meetings with owner Jeffrey Lurie over the past week left his boss unconvinced that Peterson had the vision necessary for many of the issues facing the team, including the Carson Wentz situation. In a statement, Peterson said it was an absolute honor serving as the Eagles head coach. He added, as difficult as it is to say goodbye, I will always look back on my time here with appreciation and respect. The memories we made here together will always have a special place in my heart. The Alabama Crimson Tide are once again college football's national champions. Devonta Smith, Najee Harris, and Mac Jones led as the top-ranked Tide won in the national championship game, beating number 3 Ohio State 52-24. They finished the year at 13-0. The shorthanded Sixers lost to the Hawks last night in Atlanta. Trae Young scored 26 points, and the Hawks beat the Sixers 112-94. Joel Embiid led the Sixers with 24 points and 11 rebounds as the team had only 9 players because of injuries and COVID-19 protocols. They are scheduled to play the Heat tonight at home, but it remains to be seen how many players from either team will be able to suit up. The Miami Heat are also dealing with impact of COVID-19 among players. Tip-off is scheduled for 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kat. So looking at a full slate of stuff that we have to get to today. So let's reveal what we have in store for this Tuesday morning. First of all, cash, $500, 2x loan with the Preston and Steve show, and then 5 more times outside of our program. No sad dough is what we call that. And it's real simple to do, so we'll bring you up to speed. But 8 a.m., your first shot at it. Don't miss. We have a number of guests on the program today. Kathy, of course, mentioned Doug Peterson. Well, that's the big story. So we're going to have our buddy Deuces Rogers on from 6 ABC Sports. We'll talk to him in the 8 o'clock hour and get his perspective and take on that. And speaking of sports, we're also going to have Alain Vigneault on, the head coach of the Flyers.
Cool.
Who's going to be checking in because season starts tomorrow.
They're going to have him start coaching the Eagles as well.
Oh, really?
So he's going to do double duty. He's going to do a twofer.
Okay.
But he does get a different title, not a big increase in pay. But
I gotcha. Yeah. The green and orange kind of clashes a little bit.
It does. That's why
the Joker or something like that.
The new Flyers color is now green.
All right, so we'll talk to Elaine later on this morning. We also have Tattoos Day taking place today, so we have a chance for you to win a Preston and Steve tattoo. $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. It's simple to enter. You just text the word tattoo to 39333, and we will see if you end up winning by the end of the program. So go for it. Why not? And then we have, it looks like, we have some giveaways from our Meet Need People stop.
We're hoping to.
Well, we have Old State Tavern in.
Oh.
They're in Media, and they serve up, of course, ice-cold Bud Light and great food, including their legendary wings. So they're stopping by with some goodies, and it looks like we do have giveaways.
Yeah, but we don't ever, until we actually have them in hand, you know what I mean?
I know. Yeah, we never know. But
the plan is to have them.
We're working on getting some goodies.
As Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Yeah.
So we will get to that a little bit later on this morning. Other than that, we'll just dive right into it. We'll take a break, come back in a second, give us some stuff away with the stupid question, the entertainment report. You know how that thing works. And we will be together on a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's see if you know the answer to the question I'm going to ask. It's a stupid question. We're going to give away a $50 Carrabba's Italian Grill gift card. So the question today, what's a dick for? 215-263 WMMR.
Seriously?
Right, see if you know the, why not? What's a dick for? 215-263 WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go to the birthdays while we're waiting for your answer, and we will start on the 12th of January with, let's see, Oliver Platt.
Yes.
The actor. Was just watching him just for fun. I popped the movie on. I've seen it before. We were kind of just hanging about the house, and I threw it on. The next thing you know, we all sat down and watched it, which is Chef.
Oh. Yes, and he's a really good movie.
Jon Favreau kind of plays his foil in that.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's a good case. And was mentioning it, and that's why I was like, you know what? I'm going to go watch that again. I love that movie.
He was actually sort of a peripheral member of the Brat Pack. Remember a while ago?
Was he?
Because he's in the movie Flatliners.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of those guys were in that.
You're right.
Yeah.
Kiefer Sutherland and Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
was the chubby fun guy in the group.
Yes.
Not the hottie.
Which meant he was smart.
Yeah. I've always liked his attitude, his just his whole delivery. He's great in everything he's in.
So. He's Goldblum-esque.
He's 61 today, yes. It's Rob Zombie's birthday today.
Wow.
Rob Zombie celebrates his 56th birthday. Rob's been in the studio a couple of times, I think. We talked to him many times.
Yeah.
One time for sure he came by. And at the time, it was a go. He was doing a movie about the Broad Street Bullies.
Yeah. One of the great missed opportunities,
man,
because he would have done a great job. Totally enamored of it.
He was a total fan.
Absolutely. We need that movie.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's not going to be him, obviously.
And it fell through, unfortunately. But nice guy. Cool. He's a straight shooter. You ask him a question, straight question, gives you a straight answer.
Horror fan, director. The video for this.
Yep.
Just Dracula, right?
And he's friends with Tom Papa. He directed Tom's comedy special, and they've worked together a bunch in the past. It's an odd pairing, but they hang out.
You're right. So
you know he's a massive fan of Preston? Like, he has an encyclopedic knowledge of the Munsters.
Really?
Seriously?
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
There weren't that many episodes, right?
There was two seasons, I think.
Two seasons,
So, but he celebrates his 56th birthday today. Radio legends celebrate their birthday today. I always found this interesting that Howard Stern and Rush Limbaugh both
on the same day.
Same birthday.
That's amazing.
Different in ages. Howard is 67. Rush is 70 years old today, but two absolute dynamos as far as having success in the world of radio.
Have created a type of radio that, Howard, his legend is well-deserved, and Rush has been, I mean, the amount of stations is amazing.
Yeah. Rush is in a bad way, though,
he's
right?
in a bad way.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he himself has said he is not long for this world.
Lung cancer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's 70 today. Stern is 67. The Amazing Kreskin, magician and mentalist, is 86 years old.
Where are my keys?
Yeah.
he is a showman, so I think he never, at least to the best of my knowledge, he never tried to indicate that he was somebody like Uri Geller that could actually...
That said,
yeah,
what I'm doing
I'm
is real.
Really magic, yeah.
Yeah. So he's 86. Zach De La Roca, Rage Against the Machine, by far. The song that gets me more fired up than any is probably this one. If I want to rage, hence the name, I put this on and I crank it up.
This is my souffle making song.
Oh,
Preston.
It is. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way to listen to this song at a respectable level.
No.
You just have to turn it up as loud as your system will allow. Zach celebrates his 51st birthday today, but hang on, I got to get to this part right here. And that's all.
Oh,
oh no.
I already turned it off.
I walked right up to it.
Yeah.
So he is 51 today. Talking about her yesterday. Heather Mills' birthday.
Heather Mills. Legs blown off in a landmine accident,
she
right?
She lost
all her appendages.
Three quarters of her lower body was blown away.
She's got leg.
But she does have legs. She has leg.
Yeah.
No, listen, the long statement to recap, I thought forever.
It's a mistake.
That she had her, I knew she has only one leg.
Yeah.
I thought it was blown off by a landmine because she is very anti-landmine and she is pro getting out and making sure that all the World War II landmines and so forth are... Is this Drop Dead Legs from Van Halen? Nice.
And because of that story, my friend also believed that.
Right.
And I had to tell her that was not the case.
Yep. Now we forget, by the way, as the leg melody kicks in, she had kind of a... acrimonious split with Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It seemed like it wasn't
It
real
wasn't all
easy.
Wonderful. Yeah.
It wasn't ballistic, but
no.
It definitely didn't go smooth. So she celebrates.
She kept her other leg, Preston. He kept her
he
other
kept
leg.
It?
Yeah.
Son
Not
of a bitch.
Cool.
So she turns 53 years old today, Heather Mills. Last birthday, Claude Giroux.
Whoa!
G turns 33 years old today. Every
he's only played for one team. I think that's fan-freaking-tastic. We love that. And we love that.
So it was cool having him on in the during the camp out.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His son. With him.
And his son in the background.
Kept interrupting.
It was adorable.
Yeah.
He kept coming into the room. Claude turns 33 today, so happy birthday to you, Gene. We're going to talk to your coach a little bit later on this morning. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What's a dick for? 215-263-WMMR, and I will go to Nancy, see if she knows. Hey, Nancy, good morning.
Good morning.
Nancy, what's a dick for?
To pee with.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah!
Hang on. Technically, it's like a movie question because it's Spies Like Us.
That's right.
There's a moment that that's used. Nancy, hang on. We are going to set you up with a $50 Carrabba's Italian Grill gift card. Eating lighter, Carrabba's Italian Grill has got you covered. You can enjoy main courses under 500 calories, like the Tuscan grilled pork chop for those counting calories this time of year. Visit Carrabba's.com. to view the lighter menu today. I almost said, as I was reading that copy, enjoyed main courses for under $500.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's well, great.
That means you could,
true.
Yeah.
You could feed a family for four for under $2,000.
It's true. It's true. All right, let's start with some of these stories. Chadwick Boseman's widow, Simone Boseman, had accepted the actor's tribute on her husband's behalf last night at the 30th annual IFP Gotham Awards. She had said, "It is my honor to receive this award on behalf of my husband, an acknowledgement of not only his profound work, but of his impact on this industry and this world. Chad, thank you. I love you. I am so proud of you. Keep shining your light on us," she said. She also talked about how her husband made a practice of telling the truth. She said, "He is the most honest person I'd ever met. He actively searched for it in himself, those around him, and the moment. The truth can be a very easy thing for the self to avoid. But if one does not live in truth, then it's impossible to live life," she said. So it became how he lived his life day in and day out. Imperfect, but determined. He was blessed to live many lives within his concentrated one. He developed his understanding of what it meant to be the one, the none, and the all. A vessel to be poured into and out of, he had said.
Those are very salient points.
Yeah,
very
like
good
that.
Points. And in fact, I think one of the hardest things to learn to do in life is to be honest with yourself.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
and accept your faults and issues. Sometimes that's the hardest.
I agree. So that's a nice tribute. Let's see. As news of a new installment of Sex and the City drops, fans are bemoaning the absence of Kim Cattrall. We talked about this yesterday. She had long said that her co-stars Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, and Kirsten Davis weren't very nice to her, and they were never friends. Sunday night, the remaining trio had posted about the new project, describing it as Sex and the City, the next chapter. Fans immediately noted Cattrall, Samantha, was missing. Sarah Jessica Parker had replied to somebody who wrote, "Happy to see you back, but we'll miss Kim/Samantha. She said, "Well, we will too. We love her so."
Well, Cattrall said she's not going to be the dead Parker.
Parker also shot down the rumors of a feud between herself and Cattrall, replying to one fan who had said that the 55-year-old actress who plays Carrie Bradshaw in the series disliked Cattrall. She said, "No, I don't dislike her. I never said that. Never would. Samantha isn't part of this story, but she will always be a part of us no matter where we are or what we do." So kind of backtracking.
Does the original series still hold up, or is it too dated?
Good question.
Maybe Marissa can answer that because she watched
Marissa?
It.
Marissa? Have you watched it recently, and if so, does it hold up?
I'd say it's about 50-50.
Okay.
So there's like some dating things that they do that are very passe now, but overall, it's kind of like watching Friends again.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You just got to keep it in mind.
Cattrall, though, her character was a big part of. Was she like the Fonzie of Sex and the City?
No, she was the sex pot.
I mean, yeah.
And the show is the show because of the ensemble cast. It's like Seinfeld and taking out Elaine something like that. It's four central members of the show.
Right. Let's see. What happens when the cameras aren't rolling on ABC's The Bachelor?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The owner of the luxury Nemacolin Woodlands Resort in Pennsylvania, where filming of Matt James' season took place, spilled that Sex and Love is in the
Sex
air.
And Love. Did you see this place, by the way?
I've stayed there.
Oh, you have?
I texted you guys last night. I said,
Why didn't I get that text?
You did.
You have to look at your text.
You have to read them.
So yeah,
I'm looking right now.
I took my family to the Nemacolin Resort a few years ago.
We stayed
there. It's fantastic.
See, someone texted me after you texted me.
See,
my door told me it was locking.
See, that's a whole other conversation. Is the people who only see the last text that comes through, not even on a group chat, just one on one. Read the things before it.
Exactly. I'm a wealthy businessman. I don't have time.
So the resort's CEO, Maggie Knox, told Page Six of the show's shooting at the location. Sometimes there's some hanky-panky going on.
Hanky-panky.
Where it should not have been, but I can't tell you everything that was going on. We are on 3,000 acres, so there's a lot of land and a lot of woods out there. There were things going on inside and outside of the whole of the time. She said, Exhibit A, we actually found a used condom in a tree branch.
Tree effing's the best. You've done that, right, Preston? You get up on the highest point of a tree and have sex?
I have not.
I mean, if that's the case, what a pig. Whoever... Is it The Bachelor?
We
or the
don't
Bachelorette?
Know. We can't pin blame on. It's quite possible other people staying at the hotel.
Okay. Very true.
Let's not forget the Shriners were staying there.
Why are you calling her a pig? It's okay for him to do that?
Yeah. I'm talking about him.
Of course.
Not
so
her.
Typical of you, Casey.
Oh, my God. I'm going to miss. I was talking about
misogynist
him
pig.
Being a pig.
I never, Casey.
Why? I never. Why? Oh,
they say, God. Preston, the walls are covered in caked on semen.
Oh, God, oh, what a whore.
We had, when we stayed at the Nemacolin Resort, when we got there, our door wouldn't open because
of the dried semen.
Sticky semen on it.
We
had to call housekeeping to help us get in.
Don't they have glass cases on every other wall in case of dried semen break glass?
How did we get to this point in the conversation?
I don't know. Wait.
Well, because Kathy brought up that the walls are caked in dried semen.
She likes to throw condoms in the trees.
Casey was being a misogynist pig. Where is this?
It's in western Pennsylvania. It's about an hour south of Pittsburgh.
Okay, I remember when you went there. I remember your pictures and thinking, I want to go here sometime.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning. Play golf there. Beautiful, beautiful golf.
What was the place you went to in West Virginia? Virginia.
That's the Greenbrier.
Oh, no, that was it.
Okay.
That was the one where I saw the pictures and thought, I want to go
there.
That's
it.
It's pretty cool, too.
It has to be our understanding that as The Bachelor was being filmed there, they probably shut down the rest of the hotel, right? The resort?
Maybe.
Because of all that semen being sprayed around.
Well, there's multiple properties all over. There's multiple hotels and places that you can stay at there.
Right.
We rented a house while we were there, actually. So, but the property's just... enormous.
Did you play the course, the golf course?
Oh, yeah. Played pretty damn well, too. I think I shot like a 78. I was on fire that day. But anyhow, Knox, the resort CEO who inherited the property in 1986, holds an estimated $45 million worth of artworks, said of hosting the show. People are bored. We're in quarantine. We are here to serve in any way that we can. We are here to make sure that all of our guests are happy all the time. While she wouldn't reveal plot details, she did say that, quote, hair will be pulled and weaves will fly. So,
are there a lot of weaves in that group?
I don't know.
Extensions, probably.
Yeah.
What a commercial for this place, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's
gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. And there was like the Bachelorette was at a La Quinta in somewhere in the Southwest.
Excuse me?
Yeah, it was like the high-end La Quinta or whatever, but whatever it's called, it was like La Quinta. I don't know. There's a word that goes after that, and that's where they did the Bachelorette, but these guys get to stay at the Nemacolin.
It's La Quinta, but a good one.
Yeah, La Quinta.
That's the name of it, but
superior.
A good one.
I like the La Quintas. I actually do.
I stayed at one in Kanab, Utah. It was great.
They're actually really nice.
Yeah.
So the Nemacolin, we did backcountry Jeep excursions.
Wow.
They have a casino on the property. They have a zoo, the golf courses, and they have these sculpture parks and
holy
all
hell.
Kinds
so
of crazy
I'm,
stuff.
I mean, I maybe heard it in passing. I didn't realize it was that elaborate.
Yeah, I'll show you guys.
It sounds like they just say an institute.
I'll show you some of my photos. Yes, it is. It's like 200,000 acres. Kevin Hart has signed a huge multi-film deal with Netflix.
This is good because he was hurting for cash.
Yeah, it is set to star in at least, or he is set to star in at least four movies for the streaming platform, while he will also produce the projects via his Heartbeat Productions banner and has a first look production option as part of the agreement. He had said, partnering with Netflix is an amazing opportunity for Heartbeat and myself. I'm excited to act in and produce cutting edge films with Netflix. He said this business is about growth and my Heartbeat team continues to exceed my expectations with their ability to develop stories and relationships.
So, four film deal, from what I understand.
Well, look at how that worked out for Adam Sandler, Preston.
Oh, man.
So Adam Sandler probably... The movies do well, but released theatrically as opposed to made available on Netflix. And on Netflix, it's just destroying.
Mm-hmm.
You're more likely to put on I love Adam Sandler, but a lot of people may not make the trip to the theater to make it a hit.
Right, you're definitely more likely to give it a shot if it's right there in your house.
Yeah.
So good on him. There are countless fan questions about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Moviegoers have been wondering for years to see if and how Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool would be adopted into the franchise following Disney's acquisition of 20th Century Fox. And now, Kevin Feige has officially confirmed a few key details about this long-awaited crossover. So Disney's deal purchasing Fox took years before it became official last year, and in that time, the fandom has been completely in the dark regarding the future of the R-rated property. While the House of Mouse early on confirmed Deadpool 3 would be rated R, there was no indication regarding if that threequel will actually be set in the MCU, and that is until now. Feige recently addressed Ryan Reynolds' journey back to the big screen, saying it will be R-rated, and we are working on a script right now, and Ryan's overseeing a script right now. It will not be filming this year. Ryan is a very busy, very successful actor. We got a number of things we've already announced that we have that we now have to make, but it's exciting for it to have begun. Again, a very different type of character in the MCU. And Ryan is a force of nature, which is just awesome to see him bring that character to life. So they might fold him into, and that means that Avengers crew, characters, not the X-Men, which they flirted with.
Right.
You know, with Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead and all that stuff. So I'm really curious. And, of course, they'll do it, right? They do it better than anybody.
So the way that they folded the Guardians into everything.
Yeah.
And if you could have someone, if you could have Deadpool serving as a commentator on all the characters, the beloved characters.
It'd be hilarious.
It'd be great.
And if they can somehow make that the bridge between
the two,
X-Men
and
MCU, that'd be pretty wild.
That's been happening for years in the comic books.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so we shall see. But Feige has kind of tipped his hand a little bit. FX has ordered a 6-episode limited series titled Pistol about Sex Pistols guitarist Steve Jones, and it is from filmmaker Danny Boyle.
Oh.
Boyle's amazing. Trainspotting, Slumdog Millionaire, and he's directing and executive producing the project, which is based on Jones's 2018 memoir called Lonely Boy, Tales from a Sex Pistol. The series features Toby Wallace as Jones, Anson Boone as John Lydon, Louis Partridge as Sid Vicious, Jacob Slater as Paul Cook, Fabian Frankel as Glenn Matlock, Sidney Chandler will be Chrissy Hind, Emma Appleton as Nancy Spungen, and Maisie Williams will be playing punk icon Jordan, who I don't really know anything about. And I'm going to have to look that
up. I know some of these people. We'll see. Listen, if he's at the helm, it's probably going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, so production is set to begin March 7th. Pistol will follow the rise of the band and controversy surrounding the 1977 album Nevermind the Bollocks and their single God Save the Queen. Boyle said, "This is the moment that British society and culture changed forever. It is the detonation point for British street culture, where ordinary young people had the stage and vented their fury and their fashion, and everyone had to watch and listen, and everyone feared them or followed them." Probably be pretty good, man.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's an interesting, there's a lot of material there. So Sharna Burgess and Brian Austin Green are Instagram official.
Sharna Burgess is a Dancing with the Stars alum, correct?
Oh, she is.
I believe she is.
Right, I just know Brian Austin Green.
She was one of the dancers.
Okay.
No, she was a singer. No, yeah, I think she was one of the dancers.
No, yeah, she was a dancer.
Professional dancer, not a contestant?
No,
she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
I believe.
Don't you love Nick's stop at the very end? Yes. Hit that again, Case, if you would, please.
No, she was a dancer.
Jinx, oh my God!
Stop. So the pair have been spotted on a romantic getaway to Hawaii.
Ooh,
there you go.
She shared a
picture.
What
I wouldn't give to go to Hawaii with Brian Austin Green.
Right?
And she shared a picture of them.
How's your boy, Brian?
She shared a picture of them sharing a kiss, and she captioned it, "Him."
Oh,
God, I hate it.
I want to stab them both.
I love those Those captions.
I want a volcano to open up underneath them.
Those specific kind of captions drive me up
him.
The freaking wall.
I think I'll keep him.
Him.
Like everyone's tagging a cologne ad.
Yeah.
You know what else I hate?
The wind.
It's mean because it is your family, but when people are like, my life, my earth.
Yeah.
Shut the
I know.
Mr. Green, Hawaii, him. Scented with the smell of poi and palm trees.
Oh, God.
Him.
All right.
Samoan who likes to date.
Here's another one, Kath. In the comments section on this post.
Oh, God.
OMG, 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 I have no words. Well, that's like 8 words.
Yeah, there's a lot of words that you put in there.
Well, yeah, OMG's not a word.
Okay, you're right. Well, maybe that's a, I don't know.
But even saying I have no words has words.
Yeah, yes. I have no. Those are words.
Those are words. Those are words, but OMG is not a word.
Him.
Oh, God.
I'm wearing Austin Green, and I wear him.
All right.
I'm Don Howard Jr.
Let's see. What else I have here for you? Other relation. What?
I would love to maybe spend some time getting the worst quotes off of Instagram when it comes to.
God, yes.
Yes.
Or just the most annoying ones. I mean, there are. There are grammatically bad ones. There are ones that make no sense. But then there are just the ones that are supposed to be a statement of some type.
Capturing the love.
Like this.
Yeah.
This.
You'll see that a lot.
Yes. Yes.
I'm probably guilty of it.
Yeah.
I would love
carp.
Bamunda.
There's a trend where, you know, it's two pictures and you usually see it on Twitter, you know, how it started, how it's going. I would love to see that with this trend.
Yeah, right.
Him, how it started.
Yeah.
You know,
her drunk pissing in an alleyway.
right. Her.
Yeah.
How it is now.
Piss.
Kate Mara. Love that gal. She reveals that a teacher has reached its conclusion on Hulu. She told The Wrap, there was never really any discussion about more seasons of the show. I've heard a lot of people who love the show and ask the question, where is season 2? It makes me laugh just because, no, to be honest, there hasn't been, there never was really any discussion about more seasons. I've never even heard of this show.
What's the name of the show?
It's called A Teacher.
Huh.
I'm
sorry to see it's go, or I'm congratulating its premiere.
Follows her as a married teacher who manipulates and grooms her high school student, Nick Robinson, into a relationship with her.
Okay. There is quite literally too much to see, too much to recommend.
I don't go to Hulu that often.
Me neither.
There are a few shows that I'll go there for, like
Handmaids.
That's the only reason I subscribe to it, is for Handmaids.
And they're good curating other shows, like from FX or whatever, so you can watch them via Hulu or whatever. But I just don't go to that platform very often.
No, you know what, though? It's actually in the list of apps immediately accessible to your Xfinity remote.
Well, actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because I do have a... I do have a Hulu story. Keeping up with all the streaming services, of course, can be expensive, but Hulu is offering U.S. college students a special discounted plan at $2 a month.
Oh, I think U.S. Americans have maps.
Yeah. typically.
Not all U.S. Americans have maps, but.
Their ad-supported plan costs $5.99 a month. The new student plan, which is an evergreen offer and will run for the same price as long as students can verify their continued enrollment, offers more than a 65% discount. Students can sign up for the offer now.
By the way, check sometimes what you already have, what you have accessible because of a subscription. For example, if you have Disney Plus, I think, is Hulu part of that as well?
You can buy that as a package.
You have ESPN.
That's a package. So, like, you can get basic Disney Plus, which is what I have, because I have Hulu separate from that.
Right.
You know, so I didn't need to combine the two. But, yes, that's an option.
Okay. So there are a lot of times, for example, you may not know that you have Hulu on Xfinity.
Who's Hulu?
Yeah.
So that's $2 for students. So that's a good deal.
Anybody else ever watch Letterkenny? It's these Canadian guys and there's a bunch of hockey players. It's one of the funniest, most underrated shows on TV.
Really?
Yeah, it's a Hulu show. If you're bored and looking for something, I can't recommend it more highly. It's like
Letterkenny.
Yeah. It's been around for a while, but it's great.
Tristan Thompson is wearing his heart on his sleeve.
Tristan.
On Instagram. Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
All right, here's another
profound Instagram
caption.
Okay.
So he hit up the comment section. Oh, it's a comment. After Chloe had shared a sexy pic and he wrote, "My queen.
My queen." My queen. Yeah. From the makers of him. Your queen looks like a Kodiak bear.
The on-again, off-again pair got back together during the pandemic.
Chloe is not Chloe anymore.
No, I know.
She is absolute. Now, mind you, she looks attractive.
I agree.
I like her personality for the most part. I think of all the people I can stomach her the easiest. But she looks nothing like what she really looks like.
She looks like a queen.
You're my queen.
Yeah. So that's.
Hey, you're my queen.
That's what he wrote.
This queen, him, carp.
Your Majesty.
I am your serf.
Let's go to, okay, story about Tanya Roberts. Of course, she passed away last week. Her ashes.
Are we sure?
We're pretty certain. Well, her ashes will be scattered.
That's a good sign.
Near her favorite place to walk her dogs in L.A.'s Laurel Canyon.
Have they conclusively determined what
they
she passed from?
They said it was sepsis, right?
Yep.
From a
sepsis, okay.
UTI?
Yeah.
Yep. Her partner, Lance O'Brien, had announced it. She had passed away on Christmas Eve while walking her dog.
Steve, why did they edit out the downstairs nudity from Beastmaster? And when did they do that?
I don't know. It was probably to get a more access to a younger audience.
You know,
they wanted to make that. Mind you, that was at that time, all those sword and sorcery. Conan the various things that the pubic hairs and the vaginas. So what happened is that that was all part of that. And they wanted to make sure. They always do that. They want to make sure they're getting the largest audience. That's why it's great news to hear that they're not going to, you know, PG Deadpool.
Right.
You know?
Well, because I watched Beastmaster not that long ago on one of the streaming platforms that I have. I don't remember which. But I was like, let me see how terrible this is. And it is. It is really bad. But when they showed, because the Beastmaster had the ferrets go and steal her clothes. And when I didn't see it, I was like, okay, did I misremember that? Because I could have sworn I saw
a search on Tanya Roberts. And that was besides her death now, because that obviously bumped the pube or that frontal nudity down. But it is there. And it was the first thing that came up.
But you do get John Amos in that kind of G-string thing.
Leather underwear.
I'll tell you what, man. I enjoy that movie.
I do too.
I'll tell you the things I think are really cool. They're those creatures that turn out to work with Beastmaster.
They have the wings.
Wrap around and dissolve the people into skeletons.
Yeah,
and then there's the witch that's crawling along the ceiling.
Yeah.
And, it was really well done.
Yep. And Tanya Roberts.
There you go, Case. Right there.
Looking at him right now.
There's her Beastmaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it looks like she's wearing panties.
Well, I don't know. That's what you got.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we're moving on. So Netflix has officially renewed the Umbrella Academy for season 3. Yes, excited. They had to. I mean, they left it as a total cliffhanger. Steve Blackman is set to return as the showrunner, and the Umbrella Academy comic co-creators Gerard Way and Gabriel Ba will return to executive produce. And most of the cast will reprise their roles. So no word on when that might come out, though, unfortunately, because, you know, filming and things like that are difficult to do these days.
I'm surprised at what they've managed to film during all of this. They got a lot. I mean, there's still stuff coming out, you know, and more stuff is stepping back up into production.
As these shows, you know, when they go on hiatus and prepare for another season, I'm finding more and more that I go back and watch the whole damn thing all over again. Yeah.
Do you glean a lot from that?
Yeah, a fair amount. I mean, we did that with Umbrella Academy season 1.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we did because forgotten a whole bunch about it.
I
will probably do it again with Cobra Kai and all these other shows that I'm sticking with. You know what I mean? Go back and watch the whole thing. I'll do it with Handmaid's Tale.
There's scant few shows that I will watch
multiple.
Over. Like, what I will do is, as a new season ramps up, I'll watch 2 or 3 episodes of the last one. Up. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But, it's rare that I'll watch a whole series over and over and over again.
I watched Breaking Bad for the second time, and I did it with my son this time. There was so much that I had forgotten. Like, you were talking about.
That he was a drug dealer.
Yeah. No, I remembered that. There was that was pretty obvious to remember.
I think we're going to go back and watch Cobra Kai with my daughter because we always like to have a show that we can sit down and watch together. And that's easy to consume because they're 30-minute episodes.
Yes.
And if you want to knock out a couple real quick, if you only have time for one, 30 minutes is not too tough. But I think we're going to go back.
Cool.
She didn't watch any of it. And I'm excited for that, to be honest, to start watching that again.
Now, okay, so will you watch, almost like prequel? Will you go and watch Karate Kid 1 and 2?
Not 2, but we did watch 1 with her, and that's enough. That's enough to get you started.
I think what you should do is go back to Happy Days and watch all the episodes of Pat Morita.
Okay.
And just move forward.
Arnold and the whole thing. So maybe we should
watch The Outsiders.
History.
And watch National Lampoon's European Vacation, because Billy Zabka's in that.
Oh, and Back to School, you got to do that as well.
Yeah, and Just One of the Guys, because he was Greg Tolan in that.
So that should give you a good context.
My cousin Benny. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Ralph Macchio Conan.
Okay, we got things to do. All right, and then let's see.
I'd like to see Ralph Macchio's Conan.
Conan.
One last story. John Reilly, a veteran daytime television actor who starred on General Hospital and Passions, has passed away. He was 84. I did recognize, Kath, I pulled up his photo, and I did recognize him, John Reilly. Cause of death was not announced. Reilly began his acting career in the 1960s with a guest starring role on Death Valley Days, also Apple's Way and Gunsmoke in 1974. He replaced John Kohlenbach as Dr. Dan Stewart on As the World Turns.
I'm Dr. Dan Stewart.
And
I'm
his,
here to swipe out your bedpan.
His other early roles also include appearances on Quincy and Dallas. But he's best known for his role as Sean Donnelly on ABC's General Hospital.
My name is Sean Donnelly. I probably look like the doctor you had on General Hospital.
He joined the daytime drama.
I brought you your bedpan back.
He joined General Hospital in 1984 and left in 1995. He returned as Donnelly in 2008.
It's a big world out there. A lot of tough decisions to be made.
On the
That's why I want you to rub this lucky bedpan.
On the General Hospital spinoff Night Shift.
Would you put down the bedpan?
And for the show's 50th anniversary in 2013.
This guy was all over daytime television.
I was just going to say, because in that time when he left, he went to Passions.
Yeah. So that's where he was known. That was his world.
I brought the dwarf and the orangutan and bedpan.
General Hospital paid tribute to the late actor on Twitter.
So which ones are still on now of the soap operas?
General Hospital.
No, it's still on TV.
I believe
on
so.
TV?
Well, we talked about, what was the one the other day we talked about, that they're going to reboot it? And
All My Children.
Yeah.
And Kelly Ripa's going to do it.
No.
She's behind the rebooting.
Oh, she's behind it. She's not going to be on it.
No,
right?
No.
Okay. They did like an online like YouTube thing or Facebook Live or I don't know, something like that. And it didn't work out.
Okay. All right. Let's get to the clips. Ooh, here's a show, a rare show I watch. Prodigal Son.
Yes.
Follows Malcolm Bright, a gifted criminal psychologist with a serial killer father who helps the NYPD solve crimes. In this clip, star Tom Payne explains how being on set has changed due to new COVID protocols.
A lot of stuff which makes the job enjoyable won't be there anymore. And what I really enjoy is spending time with
British,
the crew and working things out and it being kind of a group effort. And it won't feel like that in the same way. And me being the lead character, like if I get ill, then we're a bit screwed, really.
Yeah. Didn't know he was a Brit. Had no idea. He was also on Walking Dead. He played Jesus.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That character, if you remember him.
Yeah, I like the actual one of the investigators who has a bit of a crush on him, Preston. You know that character that she's a...
The cop? Or No. Yeah, I know who you're talking
about.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's she's always lovingly looking at him.
Yeah. She's she's like the examiner, the medical examiner. Yeah, exactly. She's got a total crush on him. Yeah.
The Asian lady?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's real cute.
Because I watched the first episode and then a little bit of the second episode based on...
That continues, that relationship.
Okay.
That fascination.
It's a little bubblegummy, right?
So it gets...
Yep.
Stay with it.
Okay.
Because I was fine that it was just sort of like a weekly Hannibal Lecter. The thing is that the impact of having a dad who was a serial killer on him and how he has to shackle himself to his bed and the mystery of this woman that was in this steamer trunk in the basement and how Lou Diamond Phillips sort of, as a kid, he saves Lou Diamond Phillips from being poisoned by his father. And there's a whole intricate thing that builds more and more.
But there are moments of, come on, man.
All shows have that.
I like it.
Yeah.
Season 2 of Prodigal Son premieres tonight, 9 o'clock on Fox. Here's the next clip. The film Redemption Day finds a decorated U.S. Marine captain on a mission to save his kidnapped wife from terrorists in Morocco. And here, star Sarinda Swan talks
Stop looking at me, Swan!
what wow. drew her, I know he's fast, drew her to the character. Here we go.
I liked that she had her own storyline, that she was very self-sufficient and strong and had this very strong, capable husband, but that it wasn't that she needed to be, in quotations, rescued.
Yay! Redemption Day is in theaters and streaming on demand. And that's it.
That's it, man.
All I got for you, gang. Yep, that's all I got for you. All right, we have a lot going on today. Tattoos Day, chance for you to win a Preston and Steve tattoo. Text word tattoo to 39333. We'd love for you to win. Also, in about 50 minutes, your first chance at winning $500 with no sad dough. So get yourself set for that. Also, we got to talk about the Doug Peterson stuff that went down yesterday. Deuces Rogers from 6ABC will be on in the 8 o'clock hour. And we're also going to have Lane Mingo joining us, Flyers head coach. They're getting set for the season tomorrow.
He's the longest tenured coach in Philadelphia.
You got to put that in his introduction.
Did I say Vingo?
You did.
I think I said Van Gogh.
Well, he was a Dutch artist.
Later on, Vincent Van Gogh will be on.
Yeah. So he'll be joining us, the longest tenured coach in the city of Philadelphia. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. A bunch of stuff to get to. Make sure you stay with us.
93.3 WMMR, now available at radio.com, while supplies last.
Hey, real quick. So we're going to have Deuces Rogers on in a little bit to talk about the Doug Peterson firing yesterday. But I would like to congratulate another friend of ours in the sphere of sports reporting. Michael Barkan at NBC Sports has won the Pennsylvania Sportscaster of the Year.
Wow.
Which is huge. So it's a national award, and so each state has their winners.
That's a national award.
So he won that. He beat out, you know, all other sportscasters in every single market in the entire state of Pennsylvania, which is a pretty damn big state. So congratulations, Mike. Listen, man, he's so much fun to talk to. He's the best.
And he's getting his award delivered tonight to his home, right?
I don't know. Maybe in a big fragile box. Who knows? But congratulations to our good friend, Michael Barkan.
That's awesome.
Going back to the Doug Peterson thing, we were talking off air real quick. There was an article about, now listen, I don't follow the inner workings and the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on in the world of sports, but, you know, there's talk that that Coach Peterson was not happy with some intrusions in what he wanted to accomplish with the team. And essentially people were telling him what to do and he wasn't able to promote the people who wanted to promote from within and blah, blah, blah. And that might have been part of what led to all of this.
Yeah. Right.
And we'll talk to Deuces in a little while and get his take on the whole thing. But it led to a short conversation off air about what if he or anybody is trying to get let go for one reason or another.
So he was basically sabotaging his own
I'm not saying that. But it led to a conversation, but an offshoot of that, of essentially, have you ever tried to get fired? You know, tried to get out, rather than quit, tried to do something to get you canned.
Or moved out of, you know, even like if you're in a particular part of a company to get your ass relocated. Because, I mean, listen, I know a lot of people. There's a friend of mine who kind of made a this was years ago, but his job was getting fired so he could collect unemployment. That's what he did.
Eventually you're gonna need a goddamn job. And that looks, you know, it's a blemish on your record continue to get fired.
Case
over time.
He was resolute. That was his, like, he was gaming the system, he said.
So when I got my job with you guys, I essentially, you know what a senior slide is, right? Right?
Yeah.
When, you've already gotten into your college or whatever, and, you know. So when I got my job with you guys, I was waiting tables, and I essentially went into a senior slide, you know, with that job, even though, like, Jim McGuinn, our boss, said, hey, we need you to quit your waitering job. I was like, oh, I can't quit. But it'd be easier for me to just get fired. Right.
Okay.
Rather than quit. So that's essentially what I did. You know,
were you eating the food as you were bringing it out to the table?
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
you're gonna like
you
this.
You quit or not?
No, I got fired. I got fired.
Did you somewhat sabotage your own position?
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I was not that into you know, working on Friday, Saturday nights anyway. But you know, I made myself way less available when. you know, and so essentially that I worked to get fired, like you were asking.
Yeah. Look, there, you know, like we know there's a lot of people out of jobs right now, and there's, yeah. a, you know, the situation is different. There's a different dynamic. But I mean, there have been times where I think I was doing that mm-hmm. and was unaware that I was doing that.
Right.
Like I was, you know, it, like I would have let me go. Like in those in those kind of jobs where I was just,
yeah,
where you just don't want to, you know, and you, oh, yeah. you don't have, you don't want to, I quit. You yeah. don't want to. So have you ever, I mean, you've quit from jobs before, obviously, right?
Yeah. I've had to leave.
Right.
But I've.
Would you prefer to force it?
In my 20s, my early 20s before the radio mm-hmm. career came around and I was working in pizza joints and things like that.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to be doing that stuff. I would call in sick all the time.
Yeah. That's
stupid,
the thing.
Dumb excuses.
Exactly.
I didn't want to lose my job. I just didn't want to work there.
I know. You know what I mean? It's such a dumb dynamic because I don't like this job, but I don't want to be let go.
Yeah.
You know, and so you end up with that thing. But I think in the corporate world, you know.
Yeah, listen, I was living at home with my parents.
Yeah.
I didn't pay rent.
You weren't the coach of the Eagles.
Yeah, it wasn't wasn't a big deal. I just didn't want to work.
I don't want to coach.
You know, they don't need to know. So
I think we've chatted around this before, but isn't it pretty difficult to actually get fired in the state of Pennsylvania? Like, there are right to work.
Is it?
I don't remember. And so that's why I'm asking, because there are employee protections that exist in the state of Pennsylvania, like employee protection laws. And I know that it varies from state to state, but part of that, Casey, is what we're talking about off air, too, is that you get benefits when you're fired. You know, there's usually severance. You usually have to have your health insurance extended for a certain amount of time. So
right.
I think sometimes there are these protections in place, so it's just easier for people to quit.
Yeah, so maybe with Doug, you know, he's like, listen, if I can't have exactly what I want, then I don't want to work here anymore. So I'm just going to ask for the moon, and if they don't want to give it to me, then they're just going to let me go, and then maybe I can get whatever I want somewhere else. It's kind of like the dude in Office Space. He just at a certain point he was like, I'm just gonna do whatever I want.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that.
And he ended up getting promoted.
He got promoted. Yeah. It actually worked against him.
Yeah.
Well, it's Paul Domowicz in the Inquirer wrote about, you know, it's the wrong fight to pick. That he had he's suggesting that Peterson was basically like, okay, whatever, okay, this guy. And you know, his superiors were saying, we want this. Okay, all right. And then finally he says, okay, I want to have Press Taylor.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to promote.
Yeah, he wanted to promote from within. And here's the deal. Nobody else wanted that.
Right.
Like, the city of Philadelphia didn't want that. Apparently, Jeffrey Lurie didn't want that. You know, Howie Roseman. So, mate, was he doing that on purpose in order to get out? I don't know.
Marissa?
Nick, totally unrelated. I was having a conversation with a friend who works as a manager. She's in New York, though, but she said in New York, under 3 months, you can just fire anybody with no cause.
Oh.
But over 3 months, you have to show that you had meetings with them, that you tried to change, you know.
Right.
That
you have to face them in the octagon, don't you?
Yes, exactly, Steve. It's a cage battle royale. No, but you have to, like, you have to prove why to fire them. But under 3 months, just out.
All right, well, here, Dave's got information on Pennsylvania. Let me go to him. Hi, Dave, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pud.
Hey, Pud.
What's up, dude?
Being a manager, I've had to learn a law in Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania is what is known as an at-will employment state.
At-will, okay.
Okay, and if I walk in today with the wrong color shirt, my boss doesn't like it, I'm gone.
Wow.
It's that simple, and I'm not making that up. You can look it up. It's that simple.
So what that, but I mean, for would one have any legal recourse if they secured a lawyer and said, I was fired because I had the wrong color shirt?
Absolutely not, because you are being employed at your will.
Okay,
but there may be other avenues, Steve. If you feel that you were fired for something that you can't be fired for,
right?
Like your race, or your, you know, sexual orientation or things like that. I would imagine, you know. So, all right, Dave. Thanks, I appreciate it.
But what about unions and contracts and things like that?
Well, that's why
those
things are there to protect you, I guess, from from this type of
frivolity.
Well, I mean, the employer having the rights and being able to fire somebody at will.
Hang on a second. So, Tom did something on purpose to get moved or fired. Hi, Tom. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's up, bud?
How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. Man. What do you want to share with us?
So I was a manager at a company, and one of my employees, I had been dating her for about 10 months, not telling our company, obviously, because she worked for me. but I wasn't happy in my position, and another position in the company opened up. So I went to HR and said, hey, I would like to start a relationship with my employee. So they had to move me.
Oh, wow.
Out of that position.
Just simply by doing that, and that helped. Well, that's, and it worked.
It did. Yeah, it was a little risky. They could have let me go, but I knew the supervisor for the next position, and he wanted me over there, so.
Yeah, that is a gambit.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be confident enough to go for it. But that sort of stuff works all the time. If you look at the way, it doesn't say works, but it occurs, where people will play inter-office politics.
Uh-huh.
It's the same deal. Hmm. You know, about getting, you know, you want a job and you position someone to get canned from that job and you move in, all that stuff.
I mean, if you're getting canned, just A, if you don't like your job, and B, you're like, okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, collect unemployment until I find my next gig or whatever. I mean, that's a gamble too.
Yeah.
Because unemployment is not a guaranteed thing.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, and in fact, like, I didn't want to do unemployment. I did it for a brief bit.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. You know, you got to do it.
I never followed through on that.
I was paying into it for years, and then you should do it. And then at that time, the rules in New York were me going to audition for things constituted
work.
Huh. I wasn't getting paid, and I got penalized for that. I'm weird. Like, F this.
Okay. I've been fired a couple of times, only a couple times. Only one time it really stung, and that was when I was in radio. And the station I was working for switched formats, and they wanted
There's
to
nothing
let me
you
go.
Can do.
Yeah, and I was like,
"Was this Big Dog?"
Big Dog was gone by then, but it was the GM of that radio station, and they were calling us all in, okay, to the office. I thought, so this was the big thing. I thought I was going to get like promoted or something.
Oh, that's a full 180, man.
Totally, man. Because I walked
Jesus.
In confident. Almost like with a little smirk on my face.
Hey, you're looking good today.
You know, thinking I was a star or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
And they let me go. And, like, I almost cried.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was all, hey. All right.
I remember this. So same sort of deal, regime change at WDRE in Long Island. And I remember they brought in this, this guy's going to change things around. Of course, he nearly tanked everything. But I walk in with my super duper muffin from Gerber's Delicatessen. I'm feeling good. I said, hey, Ron wants to talk to me. I guess he is. Because he would always call me in because he would love spots or promotion or comedy bits that I've done.
Right.
You know, and no. So I'm driving home with my little muffin bag in one hand, steering with the other wheel, like, what happened?
But Steve, I'm sitting in an office. I'm like, but I'm the star.
You've got me.
You bought everybody at the coffee shop.
Me. Who does the farm report better than I do?
Hey, guys, everything's on me. I'm getting promoted later on today.
Did I ever get one cafeteria announcement incorrect?
I'm kind of a big deal.
I was past that.
Oh,
it was
man,
a different
sucks.
Radio station than the lunch and fish reports. Yeah, kind of a big deal here. Do you know what you're doing?
Do you ever listen
You'll
to the
see.
Radio?
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll see.
One day.
You'll rule the day.
I guess that's
although, you like to jerk with the chair and the
whole. Right. Just taking something my way. Although that guy, man, what was his name? Carney was his last name. Might have been Jim Carney. Years later, after I arrived here in Philadelphia, and Steve, we started doing those TV shows with Banyan Productions.
Yes,
The makeover show and all that stuff. He saw that and he emailed me.
No kidding.
And he said it was essentially, listen, I know it was hard, what I did, and letting you go. He's like, but I knew you would land on your feet, and I knew you would be successful and all this other stuff. So,
and I didn't want a part of that talent.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a nice thing to say, but yeah.
It was big of him to do
and
that. I thought
you,
it was cool.
And you do sometimes grow from that stuff. I mean, listen.
Oh, yeah.
If I could have had that muffin and not been let go and not be here.
Right.
So you look at the chaos theory.
No, there's definitely times where I look back and go, okay, that was a horrible thing at the moment, but it turned out to be one of the better things for me.
And apply that to life, you know?
I've been fired twice. One of the times was painful because I didn't see it coming. The other time was at Y100, and it was after you guys had signed to come here, and we all knew in theory that we were going to be here. We didn't know when. But I remember laughing because I followed Casey into the room where we got fired. And it was Casey and Kathy and I all got fired on the same day. And Casey, you came out of that office with the biggest grin on your face. I think it was because you knew what was happening going in.
Yeah.
And didn't particularly care for the guy. That was the only time I ever met that person who I know.
Oh, was it, what was that?
Steven.
Oh, my God, this guy. You want to talk about, I mean, as cold as possible.
So it
like
was
the classic.
The Paisley ascot. And
who is this? I'm sorry, I missed it.
He looks like Fred from Scooby-Doo.
No, hang on, back up, because I was reading the messages.
So the dude that fired us.
When you were fired.
Yeah.
I went into Lynn's office.
Not fired, but
whatever.
Well, it was a firing. I mean, there was severance, and you were no longer employed, and the station changed formats or whatever. But I was let go. I had a job when I went to work that morning, and I didn't have a job when I went home. And it was, but it was luckily, looking back on it, laughable.
Because it was such a bizarre any situation like that. Think about Peterson. The big party, the post Super Bowl high, and this, that's the way life is.
It's the quickest turnaround from a coach winning the Super Bowl to getting fired in since 1972.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's we just won the Super Bowl not that long ago, and now he's gone.
I'm gonna go to Kate talking about getting fired. Hey, Kate, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, first time caller, long time listener.
Oh. Welcome. Good morning, Kate. What's going on?
Well, basically, I work for a job. Things were going pretty well. And then within 8 months of working there, my boss just kind of turned on me, and I became like this object to be yelled at in front of my peers every day. And that went on for like 2 months, and I was planning to quit and the whole deal. And I was like, no, I'm not going to quit because I wouldn't get like unemployment or anything. So. Yeah. I had a meeting with him. I knew the next day I was going to get yelled at for something. Had a meeting. He started yelling at me. And I said, you know what? If you're this unhappy with me, then just fire me. And I said, I'm tired of this.
And did he?
Yeah. He said, go home and think about it. And I said, I've already been thinking about it for 2 months. And so I went home the next day. I came in, went to his office directly. I said, so are we going to talk? And he said, sure. And I sat down. He looked at me, and I said, so, are you going to fire me? And he goes, yes, you're fired.
Oh, yay.
Okay, good for you.
You know, it's weird, though, if you think about it, Kate, also from the position of the employer or your boss and their bosses, and, what is the dynamic? Do you look to not – often if you're in a case of management, are you – is it suggested that you try to facilitate someone quitting rather than having to fire them?
That's a good question.
In other words, are there things that are put into place to make them want to quit?
Yeah. Is it better for a business to try to get someone to quit than it is to actually fire them?
Like putting their desk in the basement and hiding their stapler?
Mm-hmm. I thought it had something to do with unemployment.
That's my understanding. I don't know. So in other words, I've never been on the side. I've never been in management.
Right.
So I don't know what is, behind doors, what's suggested or
Does the employer have to pay for the unemployment?
Yeah, that's the point of it.
No. Government pays for that.
Right.
No, but you pay into it. Your employer can deny your unemployment.
But
if
my
you
check,
file for it.
When I got an unemployment check, it didn't come from my former
employer.
Right,
correct. But your employer pays into it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how all that works. By the way, speaking about getting fired, I love this text. It says, my dad let me go one time. It was a very small business. I was his only employee. But I kind of deserved it.
All right, that would suck. You're the only employee, and you get fired.
And when you deserve it, when you're ghosting a place, and you're afraid of swinging out on that trapeze and just letting go and reaching for something else, and you want that security, and
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, you're doing it.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket.
Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Disservice to the current job you have?
Here, Scott tried a long time to get fired. Hey, Scott, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, It.
Good morning, It. What's up, bud?
Worked at a job for 5 years, just wasn't happy, and then tried to, like, you know, do whatever I can to get fired, like you know, messing up, coming in late all the time, leaving early, like, you know, the whole nine. And then my manager comes up to me and he says, "What are you trying to do?" I'm like, "What do you mean what I'm trying to do?" And I was like, "I want to get fired." And he's like, "Well, you're not going to get fired." I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "So I want to fill out, I don't want to fill out the paperwork."
He doesn't want to fill out the paperwork.
Yeah.
So how did it resolve?
Oh, I told him, like, "Oh, by the end of the summer, I'm leaving then."
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you both came at each other, and I guess he won in that battle.
Yeah, pretty much. I just couldn't take him anymore.
Thanks, Scott. By the way, if you do say that to an employer and go, "Listen, in 3 months, I'm going to leave." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Will they? I guess it's up to them if they can honor that or not. Or, you know, in 2 weeks they find somebody else and say, "Well, sorry, we found somebody."
Oh yeah, that happens all the time. Where you know, you'd listen, if you're a good employee and you're doing your job and you'll help with the transition of getting someone else and working with them, many is the time where that'll be a sort of a seamless thing. But other times it's like, "Well, just leave now."
Here's a text. So take this for what it is. Yeah. I don't know who this says. Only Pennsylvania and Texas. Do the employers pay into the unemployment fund? No other state does this. They use taxpayer funded money only.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
So only Pennsylvania and Texas is the employer pay into unemployment.
Okay.
The rest of it, it's taxpayers.
Yeah, I knew that was because I knew somebody who was like going head to head with their employer because they were denying, this was in Pennsylvania, they were denying their unemployment. So like they needed to sign off on this person.
For them to get unemployment.
For them to get the unemployment.
Steve, I have a friend who had a really great relationship with his boss and was planning on leaving eventually, and his boss fired him so that he could collect severance while waiting to get to the next job.
So
he was able to honor his contract. He didn't have a contract, but he had an employment history. They had been there with 8 years or whatever, right? The standard severance after being with that company for 8 years was 8 months' pay.
Yeah.
Instead of letting him quit, he said, "I'm going to fire you, pay you out for the 8 months." So at one point, my friend actually collected a new paycheck from his new job and was collecting from the old job.
So what happened in all this that's been going on with service industry and all the multitudes of jobs that have gone away, there were cases where a number of them and people that we've all talked to, I'm sure, where the employer fired them so that they could get unemployment instead of in other words, allowing them that option with basically the understanding that when things reconvene, you're coming back on.
Right.
But giving them that option.
But and I also I think that it depends on if you are fired or laid off. If you're laid off, you're more likely to be able to collect unemployment. As opposed to being fired for a reason.
It's a good question. By the way, lots of texts coming and say, no, it's not just Pennsylvania and Texas. It's the entire country.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So it's either just two states?
Hell, I don't know.
Or 50 states.
Yeah. It says all employers paid to the unemployment fund. And there are many people checking in from New Jersey. There was one from Maine. There were a few other ones that are popping up. So
sorry, Tennessee. Yeah,
I don't know the difference between laid off and fired.
If you're laid off, you are still technically under the employ of your employer. And you're
if you're laid off, that's it. You're done.
Yeah, you're thinking.
Are you?
You're thinking of furlough.
You're thinking of furlough.
Furloughed. You're right. I'm sorry.
Laid off is like, I guess maybe you fired.
Whatever
means...
they eliminated your position or whatever it is, and that's usually when you get a severance if you're
furloughed is what I was thinking.
Fired is you did something in order to lose your job.
Right.
Laid off is cutbacks.
It could be, or for whatever reason, okay. you weren't fired because of poor performance or
okay.
whatever.
All right. So it doesn't look as bad on your work record that you're a nuisance. You got fired.
Honorable and dishonorable discharge.
Okay. So we've got it all figured out, right, guys?
I'm reticent to call us, but we are now experts on the employment issue.
Of course.
And unemployment. So if you have any issues, our 24-hour hotline just opened up.
David might be able to explain something because there are words on here I don't understand. So there you go. It's always good to go right? FUI tax, I don't know.
Hey, he was just saying FU.
Hi, David. Good morning.
Sorry to bother you at work.
No. What's up? What all are we getting wrong here? What do you know?
So there's also a federal unemployment tax. It's called FUTA, and everybody pays into that. If you look on your pay stub, if anybody gets them anymore. Right. In the state of Pennsylvania, if they let more than so many people go because they have a plant closing or they merged with another company, the company has to jump through hoops if it's more than so many people. So they space them out, 2,000 a month or something like that. I went through that.
What was the name of it again, David?
FUTA.
FUTA, okay.
FUTA, Federal Unemployment Tax something.
Apple.
FUPA. Okay.
Foop.
Yeah. Front, upper.
It's part of the Famunda plan.
Fat, upper. Okay. All right. We're out of our league here, folks. Thank you, David. I appreciate it. We do have to take a break because we do have some money to get. There are a lot of people texting in with the difference between laid off and fired as well, and we apparently got that wrong, too. So
what?
There you go. We leave it up to you. Go look it up yourselves. Because some people are saying, yes, you can return to work. Laid off means you're let go with a chance for returning to work. So I don't know, man. Somebody's asking us to do the truffle shuffle. So we could do that instead. We know how to do that.
We do know how to do that.
Yeah.
An anonymous caller is saying it's much better to have an employee quit versus firing them. So as you would assume.
Yep, exactly. So do you want to go to that anonymous caller?
Yeah, we have time.
All right, we'll go to anonymous caller, a guy. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good you morning.
Good you morning. What's up, man?
Way better to quit than have the person fired. There's so much paperwork that goes involved on the firing side, the documentation, the reviews, the performance evaluations that you got to do. And in today's age, everybody is terrified of getting sued.
Sure.
By that person if you for wrongful reasons. So way better to, push him out as opposed to, getting fired.
So anonymous caller, are there things that perhaps behind closed doors management talks about and things that are put in place to facilitate, sort of moving an employee along to quitting?
Behind closed doors, yes, that does happen.
Okay. All right.
You got to figure.
Just to alleviate it's more work on the employer to go through those documentations and jump through those hoops to get everything, the paper in place. God forbid if something were to happen where the employee were to come back and try to sue, then it just gets all kinds of ugly and everything like that. And on the laid off and the fired part, they're the exact same thing. The laid off is the nice way of saying that you're fired. But on the fired part, you have the extra hurdle of where your employer could fight the fact that, when it comes to unemployment, that they disagree with whatever. Whereas the laid off part, it's almost kind of like you're almost a shoo-in for your benefits.
It's going to be easier.
All right.
I got you.
Thanks for the clarification.
All right. We appreciate it. It's in a nutshell. Honestly, you have to do a little research on your own to figure out exactly what all these things mean. We appreciate it.
But or just keep collecting unemployment and go to jobs and force yourself to get fired.
Do that.
Yeah.
No, listen, don't do that.
No.
What you want to do now is call because I have a $25 gift card for Old State Tavern.
Oh!
We'll take caller number 11 at 215-263-WMMR. It's a favorite neighborhood hang that is fun and friendly. Great food and drink. You can visit them on State Road and Media and check out their legendary wings and burgers. They brought some of those in here this morning for us to try, as well as their Jersey sweet onion rings. They brought in their Old State Tavern fries, Supreme Nachos, a whole bunch of stuff. So let's set you up with that. Call number 11, 215-263-WMMR. Be back in a moment. The B-File and no sad dough. First shot of $500 this morning on the way.
Are you an MMR VIP?
Sign up for free at WMMR.com for access to VIP contests, special deals, and to be the first to know about important stuff. It's like having an MMR backstage pass without having to do something nasty to get it.
93.3 WMMR presents... No Sender!
Let's get you $500. There's one word that's going to do it. That word is pay. P-A-Y. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. There are three ways to do it. You can do it through the text of our special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or be automatically entered to win $10,000. The grand prize. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Enter the word pay to on the MMR app or at WMMR.com. You will see the links immediately when you go on there. One random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest. That person got a call from Beasley, so be sure you answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com. So right now, the word pay is the one that can get you $500. P-A-Y. Good luck to you.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, I got stories for you. We're going to start with this interesting one. A hacker took control of people's internet-connected chastity cages.
Oh, man.
And demanded a ransom to be paid in Bitcoin to unlock it. And apparently the hacker told one of the victims, your C is mine now, meaning his genitals. Your C is mine now. According to a screenshot of the conversation obtained by a security researcher that goes by the name of Smelly.
Shouldn't there be a manual override for your C cage?
Right. And Smelly, by the way, is founder of VX Underground, a website that collects malware samples. And
Smelly is?
Yeah. In October of last year, security researchers found that the manufacturer of an Internet of Things chastity cage, a sex toy that users put around the penis to prevent from becoming excited, that is used in the BDSM community and can be unlocked remotely, had left an API exposed, giving the malicious hackers a chance to take control of the devices. And that's exactly what happened, according to a security researcher who obtained screenshots of conversations between the hacker and several victims.
So let me get this straight. At no time, then, could their penises go online?
No, at no time.
Son of a bitch.
A victim who asked to be identified only as Robert said that he received a message from a hacker demanding a payment of 0.02 Bitcoin, which is around $750, to unlock the device. He realized his cage was definitely locked and he could not gain access to it. He said, fortunately, I didn't have this locked on myself while this happened. So I guess the hacker has to take a chance that it's actually being worn at the time.
Right.
Another one by the name of RJ, a victim, said, I wasn't the owner of the cage anymore, so I didn't have full control over the cage at any given moment.
Can't you call the fire department?
RJ said that he got a message from the hacker who said that they had control of the cage and wanted payment to unlock it. These hacks show, once again, that just because you can connect something to the internet, it doesn't mean that you have to, especially if you then don't take care of securing the device or its connection.
So the basic deal is the one who is wearing it is at the behest
of the
dominatrix or dom.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
That's it. They're
okay.
The other person is in control.
Right.
And that's part of being dominated. So,
all right.
But
I don't know if I would do that.
An unknown individual has it and is demanding money, it can be a bit dangerous. So.
I mean, you know, on the surface, it sounds really like a lot of fun.
This is a story of a dog walker in northeast England, and they saw a protuberance in muddy soil. So it was reported to police last Tuesday because it looked distressingly like human remains were poking up out of the ground.
Oh,
cops
boy.
Dutifully scored the area with search dogs in the dark, but all parties were in for a rude awakening when it was discovered that the toe poking up out of the ground was actually a potato sticking out of
what
the ground.
What do you do with potatoes?
Well, you boil them, you mash them.
Can you stick them in a stew?
You can stick them in stews. According to Phil Hamlani, the person who called this in was very concerned, and in the picture she sent to us, the object did look like it could be human remains.
Sort of does.
They said it was already dark by the time we got the call. So we had to deploy search teams to track down the scene to rule out any foul play.
What's that? Potato.
potatoes.
The
boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
The
boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew. Boil them, mash them, boil them, boil them, boil them.
The search team did have a chuckle when they realized that it was a potato. But the call was made in good faith, and we can only praise the vigilance of the woman who made the call.
I don't know if my first choice would be a human body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't look that much like a toe. It looks a little bit like a toe.
Looks a little bit like it might have been a toe. Yeah, no. Interesting.
Or a pee-pee.
A grandfather has put his body on the line to stop a thief stealing his neighbor's car. A man has been charged after allegedly breaking into a home and fleeing on the back of a riding lawnmower. The 30-year-old man allegedly threw a brick into the window of a home before entering and stealing a Ford Focus.
Oh, no, you don't.
Paul Robinson saw the drama breaking out of his neighbor's house and didn't think twice before risking himself to help. He said he had the man in a headlock as the Ford Focus took off and slammed into a parked trailer.
That's a bitch.
He said, I tried to get the ignition key off him and tried to hang on, and he hit the accelerator and dragged me out of there. My face actually headbutted the inside door handle.
Wow.
Mr. Robertson was dragged about 40 yards before the car crashed. He was treated at the scene for minor injuries. The man fled the scene on foot before allegedly breaking into a second home and then attempted to take off on a riding lawnmower. He was arrested before being taken
high-speed chase
to the hospital for observation after allegedly ingesting an unknown substance. The man is in police custody. So, yeah, he thought that would be a good getaway vehicle. Let's see. How about this? This was a good one. This was a couple weeks ago, but I like this. Burlington police were looking for help from the public to locate a man who smashed a shop window. Authorities say Aaron Locas broke the storefront windows with a hammer at around 10 a.m. They say witnesses heard Locas say to the store employees, take your ass back to Denmark. But Fjällräven is a Swedish outdoor products company. So police say that.
Listen, I'm so sorry. Take your ass back to Sweden.
Locas is also a suspect in 18 graffiti incidents as well. Out of Canada, a winter outing with friends turned... This is a terrible story. It's a tragic story. Turned to tragedy on Saturday night, an hour northwest of Montreal. The young man was killed when his three-ski sled tied by a rope to a snowmobile was involved in an accident with a second snowmobile. The victim was seated on the sled, which was being towed by a snowmobile using a rope. At one point, the victim fell from the three-ski sled and was struck by a second. They were coming up behind him.
I got you.
And they ran over him.
They're amazing snowmobiles, but they can be dangerous.
Oh yeah, yeah. Really, really heavy, and they're very, very powerful. And obviously, you do have to be careful. So that was that's terrible news. Sorry to end on that, but we have to wrap the bizarre file.
But it was a lesson to learn.
It is. We're going to take a break, but don't forget. Yes. The more you know. Before we take a break, I want to remind you, you have about 11 minutes or so left to get the word pay over to us for no sad dough and the $500 cash prize. It's your first of seven opportunities today. Don't miss it. Details at WMMR.com, but the word is pay, P-A-Y. You can use our special text number at 45911 or the MMR app or WMMR.com. When we get back, Deuces Rogers will be joining us. We'll talk Doug Peterson. Be back in just a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We got a few minutes before Deuces is going to get on board, about 15 minutes or so, so we got some time to talk about some other things. Last night, Ken Jennings has done his substitute role, or his fill-in for the time being until they find a permanent host, and it may be him, on Jeopardy after the passing of Alex Trebek.
Yeah, yeah.
Casey and Nick and I do this thing with Jeopardy where if one of us is watching, we will text each other the final Jeopardy category, not the actual question.
Just the category.
Just the category, and you try to answer it going on just the category along. It's a long shot that you'll ever get it right, but it's kind of a fun little game that we play.
But if you are a regular Jeopardy watcher,
yeah,
you can. And you're right. It's wildly improbable.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can get where they're going to go.
I did it one time. I can't remember what the answer was, but last night, Preston, I felt good that even if I didn't get the right answer per se, that I was going to have the right because it was 1960s songs was the category.
Right.
Like, even if I didn't get the answer, the answer, I thought I was going to get the group right. I could have sworn it was going to be something by the Beach Boys.
I said To Sir With Love.
That was a good one.
And you put what?
I put...
Good Vibrations.
Good Vibrations. And I was also thinking about going with Wouldn't It Be Nice, but then I thought, Theremin. Maybe they'll do something with the Theremin.
Right.
And so, but it wasn't.
I forgot
that.
What the answer was.
It was Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. That was it. Yeah. So anyhow, but we were texting last night at what a great job Ken Jennings did.
He did.
He spoke very clearly. He even used a little bit of dialects. He kept the momentum moving. He didn't make any mistakes.
He was authoritative.
He sounded, other than the lack of serious pipes, that meaning a deeper voice that Alex had, he's got a much thinner voice. He was using Alex's delivery, and it sounded fantastic.
I was, from the first few seconds, my wife and I watch it every night. We love it. And, you know, massive Alex fans. He came up with a beautiful tribute to Alex about how no one could, you know, stand in his shoes. We have audio of that. But then, honestly, for all those precarious things, as he pointed back at the podium and said, no one can replace him. But he did the little flourishes, the little things, good. You know, like complimenting, like the things Alex would do that moves a game along. And I know people are saying, why are you ultra-dissecting this? Because that's what makes the Jeopardy experience experience.
It's all these things that you don't even notice that he's doing because Alex was so good.
So effortless.
At what he did. And what I did notice and what I liked about Ken was, that little interview that he does coming back from commercial, I thought he did a nice job.
He did a good job. Yeah.
What he did well was each time they get the answer correct, what you'd probably never notice is Alex would say different things to indicate. He would go, yes, or correct, or that's right.
Or just a little piece of information.
Or just a little thing real quick, and which keeps it fresh. Now, to you, it might sound like, whatever, man. But if you are hosting, and we all have done hosting duties here, I do a lot of it, those little things are what make it happen.
I remember we were hosting an event one night, and Nick was good. His line was, "Come on, you pussy."
Yeah. I remember that.
And I remember that.
Well, that will forever be his line. You, sir, are a pussy.
Part of the host's role is to read the room.
I read that room
really well.
Wealthy sort of mainline-ish people who thought that was endearing.
Thank you. That's why
when I turned around, a puff of smoke where you were standing was there.
It's the subtle notes. Sometimes it's the space between, Steve. Did you notice that Ken Jennings had an earpiece in last night?
No, not until you pointed it out.
Yeah, and I think that they were just helping him should he need it. I don't know if he needed it at all last night. I thought it was seamless. And I would listen. You know, you can't replace Alex. He acknowledged that. But you also don't want to do an Alex impression when you come back. You know, you want to be yourself. I think he'd be a great permanent host.
And that's what I said last night. I said, I'm not going to have Katie Kirk and a few others. But who else has a greater pedigree and reason to be behind that podium than Ken Jennings?
Yep. Do they not normally wear earpieces?
Alex did.
Used to wear a hat that held the beer cans.
Yeah. Mm.
And there were
speakers in those beer cans, were there not?
Because, I mean, they need to be able to talk to him.
Right. The only thing about Ken that's a little bit different is he has just a slight bit of a lisp, meaning some of his S's are used with his tongue out like this.
And he's very gassy.
But he's not gassy. Yeah. But and you will see it. You won't necessarily hear it, but you will see it when he's speaking, and that can be that looks a little bit different. But we have some clips to play. This is him doing the tribute to Alex at the onset.
Like all Jeopardy fans, I miss Alex very much, and I thank him for everything he did for all of us. Let's be totally clear: no one will ever replace the great Alex Trebek, but we can honor him by playing the game he loved. Jim, Tanae, Julia, welcome to the show. We'll begin with the Jeopardy round.
It was great.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Boom.
It was excellent. How much time in between the last the show that Alex hosted, his passing, and then Ken?
He died 10 days after the final filming.
Right.
And so whenever you could look at that date, and I don't remember what the exact date that was, but he died 10 days after the last filming of the show. And then Ken would have gotten on board, I would imagine, within a couple of weeks after that, right?
Yeah. You probably look at a couple of weeks ago they did this.
So any idea how many he taped? Is it just this week's?
Katie
Couric is coming up, right? Didn't you say that?
Yeah, but to be honest, I don't know how. We didn't even know that until yesterday, midday, I didn't realize that Ken was going to be handling it last night.
Yeah, they're going to both, I would imagine, have a couple of turns at this, I would think, because I don't see them doing a whole big rotating cast of people.
No,
I don't know.
But one of the things that you appreciate about the good hosts, and that which makes Alex Trebek such a legend, or people like Carson,
yeah,
is that you sometimes get out of the way of the show. Let the show do what it's supposed to do. Pat Sajak delivers that with Wheel of Fortune, which seems like an incredibly... that's nothing. And it's actually something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Here's him with the nod to Alex. I think this is at the end.
At the end, yeah.
You are our new Jeopardy champion, which means you'll be joining us tomorrow, and I hope you join us as well. Thank you, Alex.
Promotional.
That's great. That guy, Tanae, was killing it, too.
Yeah. I love that. To see the way Alex would react to a player like that would be... that's why, James Holzhauer, any of them... He's in his element. So, but in the actual gameplay, I think, did Marissa secure?
Yeah, we got it. Yeah. This is when the game is underway, and you can hear his rhythm. It's great.
Television for 200.
This title zip code was first addressed in 1990, repackaged in 2008.
90210.
And sent again in 2019. Jim.
What is 90210?
That's it.
Television 400.
Scott Kahn booked him as Dano on the reboot Hawaii of 5-0. This cop show. Jim.
What is Hawaii 50?
Yes.
Television 600.
On this series, Mahershala Ali was one of thousands of missing people who got returned on the same day. Julia.
What is the 4400?
You are right.
Yeah, those little staccato responses of saying their name, Jim, or that's right.
Yeah.
Keeps the game moving along. Those little split seconds add up over time.
What I would do is I would throw in an occasional, Dash, what's your name again? 4400. Yeah.
I thought you were a singer. You didn't know choir?
But yeah, first test passed with flying colors.
I will say, though, there were a couple of categories in Double Jeopardy. I was like, oh, man. Like, anything around the time of 1,000, I was like... I don't know any of these things. Like, I have to tune out completely. And then art?
It's not fair.
It's not fair.
Diane, Jeopardy's not being fair. I would say this, Case. The genius, honestly, and I pointed this out, like The Classroom.
Yeah.
So, you watch The Classroom. I hope it comes back, obviously.
Yeah.
There you can watch. People think that Jeopardy is this off-putting thing. Know the category.
Well, yeah.
Remember the category, and remember the way that they will often, in the clue,
sure,
give a clue to what you're doing.
Don't you hate when you come in and you've missed the introduction of the category?
Yeah. I hate it.
And they're bouncing around so fast, and they'll only say one word. And you're like rivers when it's historical rivers of rivers of France. You know,
or my wife is sitting there; she's got the category, and she'll just go lima bean. It can't be lima bean, and it'll be lima bean, and legumes or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah,
and you don't know the category, and you feel like I'm a babe in the woods. I don't know what's going on.
So last week I watched that Chase show with James and Ken and
Brad Roderick.
It's really good, and Ken alluded to the fact of whenever you get on Jeopardy, one of the things you have to study first is U.S. presidents. You should know them. You should memorize them. You should probably also memorize
And find out what U.S. means.
You should also memorize U.S. vice presidents. But if you guys were to ever get on Jeopardy, what one category would you just like go to the almanac and study because you know that you don't know it right now?
Oh, Shakespeare.
Was it Shakespeare?
Yeah, anything Shakespearean.
I'm the Bible because I don't know it well. I'd probably sit down with you, Casey, or you, Steve, because I'm not a Bible guy. So
oddly enough, do well on the Bible categories. Yeah, Rochelle's always like, "There's your category," and I'm like the last person.
I'm
who
pretty good
know.
At Bible. B-I-B-B-L-E.
I've rocked categories that I go, okay, this I'm gonna get killed on this.
Yeah.
Again, that's the beauty is that.
Yeah, what's your Achilles heel when you see something pop up? There's got to be something.
Famous podiatrist.
Okay.
Yeah, when that
not
comes
that
up.
Many of them.
No, I guess opera. Yeah. Opera would be my.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was an art category last night. I'm like, I've heard of some of these people. Like, they mentioned Pollock, and I was like, okay, I knew that. That's Ed Harris.
But it was his wife. But it was his wife, and I've forgotten her name.
Yeah.
Betsy.
But
Betsy
when
Pollock.
I knew the Keith Haring one.
Yeah.
That was one of the artists,
street artist.
They showed
a picture of him.
I was like, is that Banksy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Banksy.
That's what a herring looks like?
Right.
When I watch with my wife, I have to implore that she do not look at the TV because she reads so much faster than I do.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like no fair because she reads and finishes the question before the host finishes the question.
Okay, before he says it. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Kathy, what a misogynistic thing to do.
Like, seriously, it's like been all morning.
I know.
Yeah, I think he did well.
So yeah.
That's cool.
So, and it also gives you, listen, we knew the show was going to go on. I'm glad that they're doing it. And I'm glad they're going to have the reverence and so on and so forth. And there's Keith here.
Now, what category, when you see it pop up, you go?
Movies.
Yeah.
Movies and television, I'll just burn right through those.
Mine's always music. Any kind of music category, I'm like, yeah. Man.
Did you play the Rock and Roll Jeopardy show when it was on?
I did. I liked it.
Did you like it? Yeah.
I did. I didn't really care for... what's his name?
Jeff Probst.
I didn't care for Probst. He didn't. He wasn't as tight as Alex was. So it was fun, but it was. I didn't care for his hosting duty. So obviously he was bound for bigger things,
with
Survivor. But I would. I really dug that show. I wish they'd do another version of it. That'd be cool. Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, just music in general now, though. But if you're to include, I mean, listen. So then you have your subcategories, and if you're going into like. Trap or hit, you know, there's gonna be things that you're not gonna know.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah,
but most of the music categories, I'm pretty happy when I see them pop up. So, anyhow, we'll see. I don't know when Katie Couric's turn is coming up, but
or how long Ken goes for.
Yeah. I hope he sticks around for at least a couple weeks. Let me see. We still got some time for Deuces, right?
Yeah,
Duckus.
Not Duckus.
About 3 minutes.
Let's see here. Oh, how about this? All right, I have a completely unrelated topic, something to just fill some time with. But
Wheel of Fortune.
This might speak to Kathy. No, not Wheel of Fortune. Etsy has made its 2021 Color of the Year prediction.
Ooh.
If we already get the Color of the Year?
Yeah, but that was from
Pantone.
Yeah, they're a bunch of filthy liars.
This is Etsy predicting what they think will really be, what we'll see a lot of.
Is it Maroon Glacé?
This year it is not.
Huh. All right, wait. What was the color of the year?
It was two colors, remember?
From Pantone. Yeah, that's right.
Well, what shades?
I think it was like a blue and a pink. Hold on, let me look it up. No, it was a gray and a yellow.
Wow, you're really up close.
I'm right on.
It's a blue and a pink. No, gray and yellow.
No, wait. So that's 2021, Kath,
what?
For Pantone.
What is?
The gray and the yellow. You were right. It was blue for 2020.
Okay. Now. What do you think, Etsy? It's not gray and yellow. What do you think would be a color that they might think?
Come on, man. Use your skills.
Pink.
They're all pink on
only
the
only because
inside.
I went to the website and there's pink everywhere.
Oh. No, it's sky blue.
Okay. I was going to say that.
I was going to be that. Say that.
No, I said gay that. I was going to gay that. That.
I was going to gay that.
What was I even going to say with
was
the
it
word?
Guess slash say?
I think guess. Yeah. I think it was
or
guess
go
and
with.
Say.
Yeah, guess say. I'm going to gay it.
I was going to gay that.
The category is I was going to gay that.
I love that color, by the way. Can we just move on?
I don't understand that. They're just predicting.
Yeah, so we're gonna see sky blue everywhere this year. It'll be the gayest color of the year.
It's so gay.
The online marketplace saw
all pink on the inside.
39% increase in searches for light blue and sky blue items in the last 3 months of 2020. And they are expecting that number to increase as sky blue gives people the sense of hope is on the horizon.
So what gives Etsy in particular any sort of authority on color
it
selection?
Doesn't. Okay. No. It's just a lot of handmade products and, you know, people with smaller businesses selling their products. So I guess they're just looking, you know, at at the different things they sell.
I bought on Etsy for the first time for the holidays. I'd never purchased from there before. And it was a few like stocking stuffer things. It was fine. It came through in fine fashion.
I've bought some things from Etsy, like T-shirts, because they do. They will make.
What I got.
T-shirts and for sale that you
do. Home beer making.
It was probably an Instagram ad, and it redirected me to Etsy, so it worked.
If you're looking for something that's a little bit more kitschy, or even things that you would not that are not mass produced, like check out even like stuff that's. Pop culture related. There are people doing some cool things.
Well, it's all handmade and like personalized items.
Mm. I wanted a handmade microwave.
You can actually get wholesale on there too, which I never knew.
What?
Really?
Like what? Yeah.
Like what?
Anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like bed sheets?
When you guys.
Yeah, but you'd have to order like 300 pairs of bed sheets.
What's the thread count?
When I come across a t-shirt site
That is a good one.
Yeah.
I get so excited.
Same.
And it's ridiculous. I have one and I've forgotten the name of it. I've got it bookmarked and I promised myself to only go on because I have way more t-shirts than I'll ever need right now. But I bookmark it and I promise myself I won't go on there that often because they're really that cool.
So I'm the same. I love my t-shirts. You know what you see me wearing all the different things that I come in with and all pop culture related stuff and just bizarre things. I've been on an Orwell kick lately, so I have a whole bunch of shirts with Orwell quotes on them. But then it's funny if you like, I drop it off at Goodwill and I actually have had this situation where I'm sure someone's walking around in a shirt of mine.
Right.
Because it's just so bizarrely specific.
Right.
You know? And it is kind of weird.
I don't need any more t-shirts, but I always want more t-shirts.
Well, you know what? It has to be like I get suckered in because you'll see the ads. I love a certain feel to a t-shirt.
Yeah.
When you get a lot of this stuff pressed and you go to these sites and it's basically like those iron-on transfers and it's crappy and the material is too – it's very poly cotton, whatever the hell it is. It's not good. It's not comfortable.
Well, some of those are styles are coming back. Like, it's really weird. You'll see, like a Whitney Houston t-shirt, right? Something you would see in it, like, straight out of the 80s, and that is now, like, a thing. Also, Snoopy is back. Well, like, you'll see, like, a giant Snoopy sweater.
Okay. Well, you remember the places, like, Modell's used to have it? It was one of the big things. You go into Modell's, in the front, they would have those presses where you pick your t-shirt.
And we owned a store.
Oh, did you?
We owned a shop, for several years that made those transfers.
Yeah.
And I used to iron those things for hours at end. Yeah.
What was the most popular when you were doing it?
Oh, dude.
Keep on trucking?
No, it was like, I mean, there were loads of transfers, but you could also just put letters on them and spell out whatever you wanted to.
Vinny's
so people
come
and get in custom made. We got to wrap up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Okay, so anyhow, we are moving on. Our next guest is on, obviously, the biggest news in Philadelphia yesterday, Doug Peterson. Let go from the Philadelphia Eagles. So we wanted to get someone on who could speak with absolute authority around this. Music, please. So we have our good friend, Mr. Deuces Rogers, who is on the show. Good morning, Deuces.
Oh, that's what that intro. I thought Jim
Devlin
was going to be on.
No, man. No, we don't call Jim for this. We call you. But listen, so, you know, been a lot of scuttlebutt for days, weeks of things going on in the in the management side, and no big surprise to you when the news officially came down?
It was a bit of a surprise to me, to be honest with you. Doug and Howie had their press conference a little bit day after the last game against Washington, and Doug seemed a little odd and didn't really speak all that much, but I didn't think it would come to this. And then obviously on Sunday, ESPN report comes out that he had a meeting with Lurie, didn't go well. There'd be another meeting. And listen, there was always a chance it could happen, but I didn't think it would go down like this. For a couple of reasons. One, the cachet that he had. You know, he won the city's only Super Bowl just 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's not like it was moons ago or anything like that. You know, granted, they had a bad season. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and I understand all other NFL teams are dealing with it, but there's circumstances. It's hard. One of the things that makes Doug great is being able to interact with his players during practice, during the week at the facility, during the off season with training camps and mini camps and the OTAs, and he wasn't able to do that. So I thought he would have at least earned at least one more year. So when the word came down, I was a bit surprised.
Deuces, is this the shortest time from a coach having a Super Bowl win to being let go?
You mentioned that. I'm thinking about when Barry Switzer left.
I looked it up last night, Deuces. It was 1972. It was the Colts. It was a rookie head coach that won the Super Bowl with the Colts, Baltimore Colts, not Indianapolis, and then was let go 5 games into the season. So Switzer was a little bit longer than Dougie P.
That's crazy when you think about that. And I spoke with Ron Jaworski about this yesterday, and it just, you know, obviously more stuff will come out, but it just feels like it feels a little knee-jerkish. You know what I mean? I feel like there needed to be somebody in the room. You know, every company has, like, one guy in the room or one woman in the room that says, hey, guys, let's step back and think about this for a second. Or, you know, bad idea. Or just, you know, let's let the emotions calm down for a second. And, you know, maybe they did, but it feels to me that, you know, if they waited a couple more days to think about it, it may not calm down like this.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to lose their job, and you know, essentially, that's what happened yesterday. So somebody lost their job, and I feel bad for that. But as the season was going on, and actually in past seasons and stuff like that, I just was watching the decisions he was making during the game, and I thought, man, this guy is making bad decisions and decisions that are not smart. So I'm not upset with the choice that was made. I'm really not. And there's been a lot, you know, I think somebody said the word scuttlebutt earlier, but there's been, you know, a lot of scuttlebutt since the Super Bowl win.
Butts have been scuttled.
That you know, maybe he wasn't the only one responsible for said Super Bowl win. That, you know, Frank Reich had a lot to do with the success of that team and Carson Wentz in particular. And, you know, clearly Jim Schwartz did not win that Super Bowl.
You have a lot of yards.
Yeah. So you know, I don't necessarily, even though I didn't want him as my head coach or as our head coach anymore, I yesterday didn't feel good because we also, I don't know who is the next best candidate. Like, and I don't want to rebuild. I don't, you know, when they let go of Chip Kelly a few years back, I was like, good, he's gone. And then, well, but now what? You know, and I'm tired of rebuilding.
Well, listening to Jeffrey Lurie's press conference yesterday, it feels like that was the difference. You're talking about a difference in vision between what he saw for the organization, what Doug saw for the organization. And Lurie did not want to go into details, but it feels like Lurie's looking that this is a rebuild for, you know, he said in his words, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And I think the decisions that Doug wanted to make was, you know, like, hey, let's try to run this back and, you know, win next year. I think Lurie understands that the team is old at key positions, namely the offensive line. And they need to start getting younger players in here to develop. And it's not going to – listen, this team won 4 games this year. Don't expect this team to win, you know, 12 games next year. It's not going to happen.
But
it's not the way, not the way the cap is and the way the roster's set up.
Deuce, as you mentioned, so obviously these are extraordinary circumstances that have been going on here.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think non-pandemic we would have seen a drastically different season play out?
That's a great question. Drastically, no. But I think I do think it would have been better. I really do think it would have been better. It was late, and I hate to do this because every team goes through the same thing. So you got to feel like the playing field is even, you know. But this team, aside from the pandemic, went through a ton of injuries, a ton of injuries, and you never know, you know, had things been normal, you know, guys are in the building more, conditioning more, seeing the trainers more, although with the Eagles track record, their conditioning staff hasn't always been great. But, you know, maybe some of these injuries don't happen, you know, maybe they're able to work with Carson once more and he doesn't have the worst, you know, season of his NFL career and things don't go sideways like that. But again, the guy lost his job, and I can't believe that it happened that quickly. But listen, I'm not going to shed a tear for Doug. He's going to get a job.
Yeah, he'll end up on his feet somewhere. Yeah, and so speaking of losing, is it your assessment that Howie Roseman stays?
Yes, that's the sense I got from what Jeffrey Lurie said yesterday. He said he has a lot of confidence in Howie Roseman in the front office, which is kind of, I don't want to say amazing, but, you know, Howie's outlasted a lot of coaches. usually you change the coach a couple times, and after a while you're like, all right, I got to change something else besides the coach.
Right. Do you think we're closing in on that?
Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman have a very unique relationship. It's beyond football. And Howie seems pretty untouchable.
Okay.
At this point. Now listen, you know, if they bring in another coach and this, you know, this thing goes haywire the next, you know, 3 years, you know, maybe then Howie's in the hot seat. But as of right now, I think Howie's pretty safe.
Yeah, Howie's been responsible for, or you would assume that he's responsible for a lot of the bad moves for the Eagles roster. But he's also been responsible and forgotten for the good moves that he made. So for whatever Alshon Jeffrey was for this team these past couple of seasons, he was not that in the Super Bowl run. And Howie Roseman did bring him in for that. And for whatever you think about Carson Wentz's contract today, that was not the case, at least for the fan base, you know, coming off of that 2017 season where it was, you know, arguably a MVP caliber season. And so these decisions that were lauded back then are now being scrutinized today.
Yeah, hindsight's always 20/20. And when they did the deal with Carson Wentz, they didn't have to do it that early. And that's what everybody's pointing at. But by them doing it that early, they got Carson for a cheaper rate than they would have if he continued on the track that he was going on and he hit the free agent market. So in the Eagles' eyes at that time, it was a bargain.
And in everybody's eyes, like, and we all felt the same exact thing because, you know, like not too shortly after that, didn't they lock down Mahomes for even more? Right. And then like Dak Prescott wanted more. And then, you know, all these younger quarterbacks were getting more. And we were like, okay, well, we got him at a nice rate.
That's exactly what happened. And but again, hindsight 2020, you look at it now, you're like, oh my God, the worst contract in the world for a guy, you know. Through 15 interceptions in 12 games and fumbled the ball, you know, and the ball's allergic to him. But you know, to give Howie some credit, or, you know, a lot of people bang Howie on some draft picks and things like that. And the way the Eagles are structured, it's not just Howie. There's, you know, they all get together and, you know, come to an agreement on decisions. And there's, you know, one guy may want, one guy in the front office or scouting department may want this guy, while another person in the coaching staff may want this guy, and it goes back and forth. At the end of the day, a decision is made as a group. You know, I do know there was some talk about whose decision was it to take Jalen Reagor, you know, with their first round draft pick last year, as opposed to, you know, a Justin Jefferson or, you know, some of these other wide receivers that did well. And I know that's a point of contention, but everybody wants to put Jalen Reagor on Howie, and I'm not 100% sure that Howie was the one that said, you know, that was his guy. But, you know, he's not going to say that now because he's not going to throw anybody else on his coaching staff or scouting department under the bus. So the fans just need to be real careful when they put every single draft pick on Howie. That's not fair.
You know, it's funny because obviously you watch – so – and I'm more a neophyte in how these things are reckoned, and you know, my understanding is very limited. But you see something, and this is probably going to sound very Pollyanna-ish, but so we have the Super Bowl win, and then it's almost like a self-destroying model. Then everyone becomes worth more. Everyone, you know, and so the team that gets you there suddenly is gone because now things are going to, you know, and now they start to over-engineer. Okay, here's where we're this and that and that. You know, when is it? Does it not exist anymore that a team that wins stays pretty much intact and is able to carry through to you know, subsequent seasons, or is it just the nature of the beast that a win means that's the last time you see that iteration?
I wouldn't say so, because if you look at the history of the New England Patriots, you know, granted they cheat though, but if you look at the history of the Patriots, you know, to keep it going for a long time. A lot of times what happens when a team wins the Super Bowl, you get the pitfalls of success. Everybody's getting a lot of attention. Everybody's looking for a bigger contract, looking for bigger endorsements, doing commercials and things like that. And when they come back that next year, they're likely not as focused.
Right.
What also happens from the front office side is, hey, it works. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
And you end up hanging on to what happened last year or 2 years ago a little too long. And that may have happened with the Eagles.
Okay.
Listen, the team that we have on the field, the team that we saw on the field this season, you know, granted you may have had a few of the same names that won the Super Bowl back in 2017, but a lot of those same names are not the same players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, and then you brought up Alshon Jeffrey. You know what I mean? Alshon Jeffrey, not the same player. You know, Zach Ertz, you know, not the same player. Lane Johnson, not the same player. Jason Kelce, I'll say he is the same player, you know, Pro Bowl caliber player. But a lot of these players that got you there, you know, a couple years later, they're not the same. And from a front office standpoint, it's real easy to try to just hang on. All right, if I just make one little tweak here, or I add this one, you know, if I bring in Deshaun Jackson back for a big number, or if I bring up Darius Slay from, you know, trade for Darius Slay from Detroit, give him a big contract and keep this thing going. And the next thing you know, you're $45 billion over the salary cap.
Like, yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a game in and of itself, making that happen. All right, Deuces, we wanted to get your take. We'll obviously follow you to see what the next steps are and what is going on. We appreciate it. You are the Jim Gardner of sports our mind. So we turn to you.
He actually goes by the Deuces of anchors,
yes.
Jim Gardner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Which is a huge compliment.
Yeah, it's a very big compliment.
Wow.
If I could only grow a mustache like that.
Nobody can. All right, Deuces, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon, okay, my man?
Love you guys.
All right, we love you too. All right, Deuces rocks, guys. Yep, it's a chess game, man.
It is. Well, you know what, listen, it's going to be good drama for the city of Philadelphia for the next few months. We got a number 6 draft pick coming up in April, and yeah, lots of stuff to talk about.
Yep. And listen, we got to take a break, but when we return, we'll have the longest tenured coach in Philadelphia sports.
Ask him what that's like.
Elaine Vigneault will be joining us of the Flyers. They get started tomorrow, so I'm excited for hockey season getting back up and going. We will also have in roughly an hour, about 64 minutes from now, another chance to win $500. No sad dough. But in the meantime, give me some of this.
Yeah.
I got a $25 gift card for Old State Tavern, who is here. Caller number 12. We are going to give you the gift card, 215-263-WMMR. They have a great selection of drafts and have ice cold Bud Light bottles, Bud Light aluminum bottles, and Bud Light seltzers for all the games. To view their weekly specials, visit oldstatetavern.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Sad dough. Your shot at cash 7 times a day starting Friday. Listen even hours. That's 8 and 10 a.m., noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. Get the keyword, then text it to 45911 or enter it via WMMR.com or our app to also get qualified for the $10,000 grand prize. See official rules and details at WMMR.com.
No sad dough!
No sad dough. Starting Friday from 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We are set to go for hockey.
Back home.
Yep, starts tomorrow. And we're excited to have the sport fire back up, and we can get flyered back up. So why not talk to the man in charge? And as Casey said earlier, the longest tenured coach in the city of Philadelphia right now.
I wonder what it was like when he started.
After yesterday's news. So please welcome the head coach of your Flyers, Mr. Thank you. Elaine Vigneault.
Yeah.
Please welcome. Good morning, coach.
How are we doing, guys?
We're doing good. And yourself?
Real good. Happy to.
Excellent. Well,
finally
listen.
Get started.
Yeah, man. I'm sure that you are. I wanted to ask, pardon the metal music there for a moment. I wanted to ask, you know, obviously a different season, a different type of season this year, a different start to the season with no real preseason, some scrimmages here and there. And I you know, just from an outsider, see this maybe the way school is going for kids right now. Some of the there are some advantages to some people for having like a virtual learning thing that they haven't been used to before, and there are some disadvantages. Is this season, can you tell for now if it might be advantageous for the Flyers, or it might be hard and you guys are really going to have to work some extra, put a little extra oomph in it to make it work this year?
Well, we're in a very tough division this year. You know, because of COVID, the divisions have changed, and our division was extremely competitive in the past. I think it's even more competitive this year, but there's the COVID variable that the NHL and all the leagues are faced with. So you basically, you're trying to do everything you can by following the protocols and staying healthy, but you basically hope that you're never going to lose A or some players. But as it happened in all sports, at some point the COVID factor did come in. So we're trying to follow the protocol, stay as safe as we can. Does that make it more challenging for the Flyers than the other teams? I don't think so. We're in the same boat as everyone else.
Right.
We have to stay smart and stay safe. And I feel real good about our team and where we are. We've had 9 good days so far. We start tomorrow against the Pittsburgh Penguins, a great rivalry with Philly, and we're going to be ready for it.
Yeah, so what you guys were able to do, and by you guys, I mean the NHL, what you guys and what the NBA was able to do to not only salvage the season last year, but also like just put out a great product was really amazing. And you guys set up these bubbles, and you were able to keep everybody safe and really put out a great product. The other thing that was great was having games in the middle of the afternoon. Like that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I mean, for us, because like our days are over in the afternoon, so we were able to really, you know, dial in on that. But you're seeing some of the struggles happen with the NBA now that they're not in a bubble. And, you know, are you taking notes on you know, what they're doing and you know, trying to maybe avoid some of the pitfalls that they're going through right now?
Well, I think the NHL so far has done an incredible job of you know, giving us the guidelines. And, you know, in the bubble this past summer, obviously, it was a real controlled environment. Now it's not as controlled, but we have strict guidelines that we have to follow. I'm sure the NBA is the same way. And, you know, hopefully everyone stays safe. And obviously, we're trying to learn from everyone. We're trying to learn from the NFL what they're doing to keep their players safe, learn from the baseball that was played this past. And now we're trying to put it all together, keep our players safe so that we can play some games, so that our fans can enjoy some good hockey, and hopefully in Philly bring back the cup.
Did you guys already have practice today?
No, we're doing that at 11:30.
So. Okay.
I'm talking to you first.
Is that regular hockey or knock hockey, just to make
The reason I ask is it's your captain's birthday today, and I wasn't sure if there was a tradition in hockey, you know, instead of birthday punches, do you do birthday slap shots and, you know, anything like that?
I've seen the odd time where the guys use the pie on the ice to the birthday boy. I'm not sure they do that with Claude. He's highly respected, and right now he's really focused on coming here and, you know, playing his best hockey to help the Flyers win. So
right.
I'm sure it's going to be a great day for him. He's a new father from last year. He's very excited. So he's come here to Philly this year with the best intentions, and it should be real good for our group.
Yeah, Coach, we've been lucky enough to be friends with Claude for a number of years, and I texted him this morning to wish him a happy birthday. He texted back. Great. He's requesting more time on the penalty kill this year, so if you could put him on the ice pretty much every shift, he would love for that to happen.
Well, if that's going to help us win, I'll definitely do it.
Okay.
How's Nolan doing?
Sorry, I lost you there for a second.
I said, how's Nolan doing?
You know what? Nolan is doing extremely well. He's come to camp. He's been through everything, all the practices, all the scrimmage, the inter-squad game. He cleared himself to play. He's got a beautiful smile on his face. Ready to go, and he seems obviously must have been nervous at the beginning, but now that fact that he was a little bit nervous is now just excited to get back at it, being able to play with his teammates and help his teammates win.
I have to ask you, because you know they say like if you live in a home with like a deep like a deep carpet and so on and so forth, they're germ magnets. How far away from Gritty do you stay?
I love Gritty. I think he's the best mascot in the league, in all of the leagues. So he's a big part of our fan base and our team.
All right.
Hey, Coach, just on a personal level, you know, outside of a win on a game day, what's the best part of your day when you guys are going to play? And let's say it's a home game, because I think the road might be a completely different thing. But when you guys are in your house, what's the best part of your day?
You know, for me, it's just making sure that, you know, I've dotted the I's and crossed the T's. There's a lot of preparation that goes into a game. You know, I have to make sure that all facets of the game, our play, you know, the preparation for the opposition, what we're expected to see and how we're expected to react. Once I've gone through my meetings, usually for a 7 o'clock game, everything is done by 5:45. you sit back and you wait for puck drop, and that's a good moment, knowing that you've prepared your group, that everybody's focused, and now all they need to do is go out and play the right way.
Last season was such a weird season for so many reasons. You know, it stopped in the middle, and people didn't know when it was going to start. And then when it did restart, there was the bubble. But it was also odd for you guys because, you know, Casey alluded to Nolan Patrick. You also lost Oscar Lindblom earlier on in the season. And so this team that's coming back really has a great mix of veterans. And the young players on the Flyers are really going to are evolving into studs like Nolan Patrick, like Oscar, like Provorov. You have to be excited about the mix that's coming into the season this year.
No doubt. And you forgot Carter Hart.
And Carter Hart, geez,
you know,
yeah.
Who's, in our minds, an upcoming goaltender that should be one of the top goaltenders in the league, and we all know the importance of that. I believe that one of the reasons why we can consider ourselves a Stanley Cup contender is because of all these young players that you're talking about. You combine those young players that are nearing their curve as far as reaching their full potential. You combine that with the experience that we have, the players that want to leave a legacy of winners. Well, you put those two together, and usually it makes for a pretty good team. And we consider ourselves a pretty good team. We consider ourselves Stanley Cup contender, and for us, it starts tomorrow.
You know, it's weird because the victories that have taken place, where the trophies, whatever's occurred in this pandemic stuff. To be honest, if you can win the Stanley Cup outside of all of this, because it's just, let's face it, nine guys going, woo. It's not the same as a parade and stuff like that. And, hopefully as things go and progress, some iteration of that. I mean, does that cross your mind? Because you know this city would go ape-ass for this. We've waited so long if it did happen. So in your mind, you think, well, maybe the closer we get to having normalcy, that might be a better thing for this.
Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, and I'm hoping that, with the vaccines coming out,
yeah,
that, sooner than later, there's some people that have it really tough out there. So
sure.
Hopefully with the vaccines coming out, we can get back to normal life, and at some point, maybe in May, June, July, May, June, July, hockey's supposed to go that far this year, that, we have people in the stands, and if we are able to get the job done, then we can all celebrate as one big family together.
Yep. We're looking forward to the season starting. Coach, thanks for coming on this morning. Good luck with everything.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Let's hear it for you. Yeah. Coach of your Flyers, I am... looking forward to seeing some hockey. I haven't looked at the schedule. Are they going to do more day games like they did at the
tomorrow
end of last
5:30.
Season?
Tomorrow starts at 5:30, and it's nothing but division games all season. So they play everybody in their division the entire season.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
so no
cool.
West Coast games.
No, and no Canadian games either.
Mm. And you guys all know, and we're in a position of privilege because our company carries games for the Flyers that, we get press passes and things like that. And anytime we've ever been at the games, and we've been at a day game, and we're there with the players. They love playing day games.
Yeah.
Love them.
Because they get to see us.
Well, that's part of it. The rest of their day's open. They get done. Yeah. They can go out and have a few drinks and relax, as opposed to getting done, post-game meeting, blah, 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 whatever it is. And then next thing you know, it's late at night, and it kind of sucks. So they love playing in the daytime.
They can see Jeopardy when they get home.
When the coach was talking... I was just thinking about some stuff, and I know we've done sports movie conversations before. Who's your favorite coach?
Oh,
well, Herb Brooks in Miracle is pretty good. I mean,
in a sports movie,
Kurt Russell.
Yeah,
that's Tom a pretty Hanks good one. In a League of Their Own.
That's Jimmy Dugan. I think I go back to Gene Hackman in Hoosiers.
Yes, that's mine. That's mine.
Was pretty damn amazing.
I like Wilford Brimley in The Natural.
Okay.
He was fond of Billy Goats.
Or as a...
Nanny Goats.
Nanny Goats, yeah. My girlfriend referred to him as Wilbur Diabetes. But it's Wilford Brimley.
Ooh, man, I'm thinking...
Bovine Joby.
Because I like Henry Winkler in The Waterboy.
He's great.
I mean,
he's great.
Oh, my God. I'm not going for inspiration here. I'm just going for who I like.
I know. If you're talking about who gives the real inspiration.
Buttermaker's pretty great.
Who brings it?
Buttermaker. Mighty Ducks.
Mighty Ducks. Oh, my God. Mighty Ducks.
But you know who is often quoted is Al Pacino on Any Given Sunday.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on football. You got, oh, man, who was the one that was just on the tip of my tongue?
Al Pacino.
No, not Al Pacino. It was a great one. Damn it. And now I can't remember.
You ruined it with Al Pacino.
Denzel Washington in Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
That's one of the great ones as well.
It's a great one, yeah.
Man, I wish I would have known we were going into this.
I just
you would have pulled together a list.
I threw it on you. How about Nick Nolte in Blue Chips?
That's a good one.
That was the That was an interesting movie.
And then that was when Nolte had less of that. It's gotten exponentially. You could actually understand him, know, but now, though he was really good, Preston, on The Mandalorian. His voice was
He
played an old character.
This is not a popular opinion. I'm not a big fan of Hoosiers.
Wow.
And I should probably go back and watch it. But texturally, it's not an inviting movie to me, you know,
period and it's out in the middle of nowhere and that
the
whole
lighting
thing
in the movie kind of like throws me off a little bit. It's a depressing movie.
Yes. Well, it takes place in the fall. It's cloudy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you that.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's an alcoholic father and some depressing things that take place in that movie. But the one thing I love about Hoosiers is the fact that the kids who star on the team, go look up their IMDb.
Yeah.
It's the only thing they ever did. They were just basketball players.
Right.
Like the movie, Nick, you were talking about.
Miracle.
Yeah. Those guys were all hockey players. The only guy that was an actor was a guy who played Jim Craig.
Yes.
And, of course, they put somebody in goal who didn't need to skate around.
Yeah, he was on Friends, too, that actor. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But I love that about Hoosiers. Those guys were just basketball players. And they taught them how to act.
Do you know what Hoosiers does?
They did a great job.
Well, also is that we can go through the topic of just sports movies in general and even atypical sports movies that convey, you know, because ultimately, you know, it says a lot about who we are. But when they walk onto the court and they're looking at the.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that whole sequence.
Coach comes to their defense.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting because his background in the movie was he punched another kid and got fired from his job.
Yeah.
And they the town didn't know about that.
I got two for you, baseball. Larry in Bull Durham and Lou Brown in Major League. Both great coaches.
Lou Brown, yeah.
Yeah.
Give him the heater.
Yeah.
From Bull Durham. You're right. That's right.
Yeah,
you lollygag around the piece.
Trey something was that actor's name.
Lollygaggers.
Hang on a second. Let me go. Oh, wait. There was another one. Now they're all popping up in my head. Hang on. You got to be kidding me. Let me go to Jared. Hey, Jared.
Yes.
All right. So what do you think? Coach, your favorite coach.
I'm thinking Danny Glover as George Knox. In Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield. They were real angels out there, weren't they?
I never saw that movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
It's cute.
Okay.
It's based on a true story.
How about Goldie Hawn in Wildcats?
She's good?
Yeah. I really like that one.
What you look for, I think what really for me determines it, is that how are they at the speech? Every movie culminates in the speech.
Yes. Yeah.
In the "this is the big game" speech.
So I'm glad you mentioned that because there's a scene in the movie McFarlane USA.
Great movie.
Where he's Kevin Costner's the coach, and he was a football coach. He ended up creating a track team because they didn't have a track team. He saw these kids could run, but when he's talking about these guys don't know what it's like to be you. They don't get up in the morning and work before school and then, you know, run all these miles after him, blah, 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 and he just really puts it in him. That's a pretty solid coach position and a really good speech.
Listen to me, I'm Kevin Costner.
Yes.
You guys ever coach any?
No one would trust me with that.
So, did I ever tell you about the game that I coached last year?
Did you deliver a speech?
No. Okay, so our team wasn't very good. We did end up winning one game last year.
That's awesome.
It is. It's great. And the way we won was really great because we were like down by five with a couple of minutes left and then it was like a full court thing. And
come here, guys. I want you to take these pills.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Who here knows how to swallow a pill? Okay. You probably shouldn't
show
these.
Those who don't, we'll crush these up for you. Oh, my God.
Who's good at snorting?
Come in close, guys. Who can take these pills?
Wow.
Listen, We were playing one team, and we were getting smoked, okay? So I called a timeout, and I said to the guys, I'm like, we're just going to have some fun. I said, Peter, you get to do your grandmom shot, blah, 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 right? Yeah. So we were losing by so much that the team that was playing against us was not allowed to guard us outside of the three-point arc. That's how bad we were losing.
Right.
Wow. So for the next 5 minutes after that timeout, we just clowned around. And so Peter was shooting between his legs, and I was allowing half-court shots. Why not? Right.
And it was your final game?
No. But it didn't really even matter.
It was the championship.
It was the season opener.
So our kids were playing really loose.
Need some more pills?
They were having a lot of fun, smiling, laughing. It didn't matter that we were losing by 20, 30 points. I mean, right. We were losing
by a lot.
They
were enjoying the game.
They were enjoying it. And then the other team started enjoying themselves, right? And they
wanted the pills, too.
Well, the other coach didn't really care for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that wasn't met with the general joy of the sport.
Guess who didn't care? This guy. Yeah. I don't care what the other coach thinks. I don't care.
Good for you.
So I allowed the kids to just, mess around. And then when we got back from halftime, I let you guys have your fun. Now let's play basketball or whatever. But the best part about that whole thing was after the game was over, when we were in the lobby, the kid from the other team goes, "That was the best basketball game I ever played." Yes, he had so much. I was like, well, then isn't that really all that matters?
Casey, you know what?
Yeah.
You won.
Yeah.
You guys won.
Right?
Good for you.
Though you were destroyed.
If they were technically way better than you guys. Yeah. And listen, fight and play hard, and you had other games that you did that, but might as well have some fun. At that age, especially.
Especially,
come on.
I used to coach cheerleading, and one of the girls called me a bitch, and I was like,
what?
Whoa!
Nuh-uh.
Like, head explode.
And
did you go nuts?
What happened?
Give me back those pills.
Bitch.
No. So what did you do?
She was like benched for, I forget how long I benched her for or whatever, but I was in college and I was coaching the local high school team.
So you were not like a year old, 2 years older than
them?
I was not
very much older than them.
Do your impression of how she, what you were saying how she fired back to you.
So she said it under her breath.
Oh,
she was like, they were sitting on the stands they were sitting in the stands at a basketball game, and she like kind of just said it under her breath, and I was like, whisked around. I was like, that's not going to happen.
Steve, all of a sudden, get down here and choke yourself in my hand.
Yeah, leave it on my hand.
She turns into Cuddly Sergeant
skull
Hartman.
You. What's your name, fat body?
Wait, you want to know a great story? That team that I think I only did it for 1 year, but I did all of the sports, and one of those girls that I coached ended up on our hottie cam when we were in the old studio. And I was like, she was like, "Oh, Coach Romano, she's like, do you remember me?" And I was like, "Oh no, now you have no clothes on." Shoot.
You little maggot, you make me want to vomit. You know who's a good coach, Preston? And you'll agree?
Oh.
Who becomes a good coach? Walter Matthau and the Bad News Bears.
Buttermaker.
The original Bad News Bears. And they put the kid in, and Vic Morrow is the coach of the other team, who's blood and guts. And he's, and he just says, listen, if we lose, but we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes through a whole thing where he starts off really not caring.
He could care less.
And then after a while, they get Kelly Leak.
Yeah.
And then he starts to care and guide them. And then he takes it too far. Then he starts getting pissed.
Don't you want to win?
Yeah. And they were like, whoa, what happened to you? And then he reeled it back and turned into, all right, we're just going to have a good time. Type of thing.
Here's the deal. I played on a football team for two straight seasons where we did not win a game, okay? And I got to tell you, categorically, doesn't matter. It does not matter. Like, we had, like, a great time. And, obviously, you winning a championship is pretty great, but, like,
let's have
a little fun.
I played on a little league game. It was the Phils up in New York, and we won every game, and it was boring because they never let – there were just like Kelly Leak, Preston, a few kids who played.
Oh, yeah.
And it was not for the fun of the game. It was a banner and a trophy and all that crap.
Yeah. It's like once you get Teen Wolf, once he's on your team.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Speaking of which, that coach was pretty awesome.
He was pretty great.
He did not care.
What were his three rules?
At all. What's that?
What were his three rules?
never play cards with a guy who has the same name as a city.
Uh huh.
Never date a woman who has a tattoo of a dagger on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the other one.
Don't feed them after midnight.
No, it's something like don't wake up before
you go. Yeah, never. Oh, it was like always get 10 hours, never get less than 10 hours of sleep.
Something like that.
Never play cards with a guy with the same name as the city and never had date a woman with a dagger tattoo or something like that. I love how he's like, hey, don't forget, you can come in here and talk to me anytime at all.
Yeah.
Mikasa Sukasa. And he comes in, he's like, I'm a little busy right now. Hang on a second. There are a few people that are texting in this. So I'm going to go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Lisa. What's up?
I thought Ed Harris in Radio was great.
A few people are texting it. I never saw the movie Radio. I know what it's about.
I did, and I don't remember.
Oh, you have to see it. It's great.
Radio is Cuba Gooding Jr., right?
Yes.
I don't remember. Yeah. So he's really good in that?
Yeah, great coach in that.
All right. Okay.
All right. Thank you. I have to look up that.
I like Ed Harris in general.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
He was playing Jackson Pollock in that as a coach.
He was? Wow. What are you doing over there, coach?
Painting.
We had a game out here.
I know, but look.
Yeah, well, that's
breaking
good.
All the rules of.
But look,
of I'm tearing down art barriers over here.
It's a game going on.
That's a painting of the game.
That's our coach over there.
He's painting.
He's painting. Splatter painting. I'm going to go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
That ain't you.
That ain't you.
Yeah. Hey, Jason. Hang on.
I know Billy Bob Thornton and Friday Night Lights.
That ain't you. You're right. Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. Very, and he was playing Sling Blade in that.
I never saw.
We're in that game.
We're going to go for it.
Yeah.
I never saw Friday Night Lights. What'd you say?
Brian Piccolo has cancer.
He breaks the news to him, though.
Let's let Sling Blade tell him.
I never saw Friday Night Lights.
It's good. It's good. It's not one of my. Again, you can have a substandard or just sports movie.
Was that I don't want your wife?
No, that's Varsity Blues.
Yes. Varsity Blues. Okay.
I don't like your wife.
I don't like my mom.
Varsity Blues has its moments, but it also has some really two-dimensional acting. And the coach in that one is John Voight, and he's the stereotypical, I'm a bully coach. I'm going to get the worst out of my best of my players by being the worst coach possible and being a jerk. And so, like, that movie's all right.
All right, who's the best jerk coach? Because there's always a good coach.
Okay, I got one. Yeah. In fact, it was going to – so the it's the Robbie Benson movie where he's –
Yeah, breaking away. No, not
no,
breaking
no.
away.
One-on-one.
One-on-one.
One-on-one. One-on-one.
Son of a bitch.
And that guy is the he's in Godfather 2. Yeah.
He's always a jerk.
Up your ass with a red eye poker.
The jerk coach. How about Red Bo U from The Waterboy? That was Jerry Reed.
Yes. I love that scene in the 70s where he shows up at the door
They've
got the big bell bottoms on. It's hilarious.
That's the best. Casey, the other coach in Wildcats. And that was Bruce McGill, I think, played him.
Okay.
I mentioned Vic Morrow in the original Bad News Bears.
Yes.
His own son, who was, I think, Brandon Cruz, Eddie, in The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Yep.
Freaks out.
It's not a great movie, but Ed O'Neill plays a jerk coach in Little Giants with Rick Moranis, and Ed O'Neill's the bad guy in that one. So I think that makes it into the list.
You know who's a dick coach? The coach in charge of the reindeer in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It was Donner.
We're not. Hey, he has a physical abnormality. Let's ignore him.
And laugh at him.
Point and laugh.
I bet he's mentally slow.
He's disabled.
Let's castigate him and send him out into the snow to die. Hey, look, he's different. Kill him.
Let's all trample on
him. Yeah, trample on him. Yeah, kill him now. When your antlers come in, more will all gather together and gore him to death.
Wow. They were just kids at that
point. We didn't have enough. Yeah.
What
was look, he's different. Kill him now.
What was the name of the diving coach from Back to School? What was his real name? That guy.
The actor's name?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't tell you. He was in several movies. Why?
I liked him.
You liked him as a head coach?
I liked him a lot.
I liked him.
Coach Turnbull, is that who it is?
Yeah.
Emmett Walsh.
Yeah, that guy was in a lot of movies.
Emmett Walsh is a great, he's actually in the Coen brothers, the Simple...
A Simple Plan.
Blood Simple. Yeah, he is a great character actor.
We're pulling up.
You know, he's
impressive.
He's in The Jerk.
He's the guy who shoots at Navin.
Yes,
in The Jerk, Navin Johnson.
Somebody hates these cans of oil.
That's right.
He hates more cans.
Wait a minute. He was in something called Captain America: Civil War Reenactors. That sounds hilarious. And he was the pool manager. It was a short, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Captain America, Civil War reenactors.
I like that.
I like it. All right.
I like it, that.
I'm trying to think of other jerk coaches who would have been, you know, like the coach. Well,
we're missing an obvious one.
Well, there was a movie called hang on to the obvious one, Tom Cruise when he was really, really young. And was it Craig T. Nelson? Who was the coach of the football team?
Yeah.
And he shuts him down completely, and in fact doesn't allow. He starts to spread rumors about him when colleges were starting to.
Terry O'Quinn's in that movie, right?
Is
it All the Right Moves?
The Right Moves.
Yeah. Friday Night Blues.
Yeah, that was it. And it was Craig T. Nelson. He was a real a-hole in that one.
The obvious one has been in the studio, and you guys are watching a current version of him right now. We all are.
We're watching a current version of the actor right now. We all are.
Karate Kid?
There it is.
Oh.
Martin Cove.
Yeah.
I mean,
coach?
Ultimate. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's a coach.
Sensei, coach,
yeah,
whatever.
Sensei. Yeah. Because we could do a whole, extra topic of senseis.
He's turned flat out evil, man.
Yeah,
I mean
he
evil on that show.
Gets off on kids fighting each other.
Yeah.
You know? Has no one pointed that out to the police?
There's something there. Yeah. It's not a... It's not jumping. It's put the cart before the horse here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It can be fun.
Let me go to some other calls. I have Alex. Hi, Alex. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, buddy?
Hey. Yeah, James Gunn in the program probably had two of the best one-liners when he says, you know, when did 80,000 people show up to watch a kid take a chemistry experiment? Are you injured or are you just hurt? And making Omar Epps get up and top it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever taken anything away from you know, sometimes those movies when they, or the a good script, you know, and that's why it's, you know, you can take away little life lessons. I've been picked up and empowered by something I saw in a, you know, sports movie.
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Most, they're very, they can be
the
very
natural,
inspiring.
Though the natural as a movie, you know, it's completely different than the book. The book ends, he sells out. He totally rolls over and takes the money.
Did you guys see the Ben Affleck movie, The Way Back, the basketball movie?
I did.
I liked most of it. I didn't like all of it. I thought he was really great in it.
He was great. I wanted to like it a bit more.
Yeah. I was hoping for just a little bit more.
A little
out
bit
of it.
More.
It
he was, actually it, he had a really decent method for keeping his beers cold.
He did. His rotation method?
Because he was such a heavy beer drinker, he would take a beer out of the freezer, right? And that would be the beer they drank, and then he took a beer out of the fridge and put that in the freezer. And so in the time that he was drinking the beer, whatever beer he put in the freezer got even colder, but wouldn't freeze because he would drink a case of beer.
But that's where you get that sort of sad, like Dennis Hopper in Hoosiers is this guy who's just...
Dude, Casey, he was a hard drinker in that movie. You're right, and I thought that was an interesting little system.
He's always got a really ice cold beer
ready to go. Let's see. Hang on a second. Somebody wants to mention the TV show Friday Night Lights. I'm going to go to James. James, good morning.
Hey, what's up, pal?
Yo, bud. What'd you want to share?
All right, so Kyle Chandler from the TV series Friday Night Lights played Coach Eric Taylor. I think he was one of the best coaches for a TV series.
No, you're right. That show was great.
And it was
far better than the movie. And he was a top-level coach. It was a great performance.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We
ate a lot of chocolate donuts.
Go next to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
What's up, bitches?
Yo, bitch. All right. What do you think? Great. Your favorite coach from a movie?
Paul Newman in Slapshot.
Reggie Dunlop. Yes.
And, you know, he's a guy who goes through a transformation, too. And that's cool, you know?
Well, for a moment he does.
Yeah.
And then he's like, there's scouts out there? And then they go crazy again. That's such a great movie. I wonder if that's got legs at all nowadays. I haven't watched it in years.
Some of them carry through. Some of them where it's such a pure... Yeah, I think it would.
It's a pure subject matter.
It was subversive when it came out, you know? I mean, it was considered, like, really subversive.
It's based on a team out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
By the way, the Chiefs are, Charlestown Chiefs.
Who owned a Chief?
Who owned a Chiefs? And the whole thing, I remember reading the story about it one time, but it was a minor league hockey team here in Pennsylvania, somewhere, I think, out towards Western PA.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just brutal. Just horribly, horribly brutal. And so they felt the movie would be about it. Or be good about it. Gene Hackman in The Replacements. We have some texts coming in about that.
I like The Replacements.
He's good at that.
I think that's a fun movie.
Yep.
A good diversion.
Mm-hmm. Rodney Dangerfield and Ladybugs.
Ladybugs.
Come on.
That movie is so terrible, but I will watch it when it's on. That kid later committed suicide. The kid who's...
Yeah, Jonathan Brandis. Jonathan
Brandis. He was in that show Sequest, and he was a good actor. And
yeah.
So sad. Didn't mean to bring the Ladybugs fans down.
Let me go to Ed. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, Ed?
Rudy.
Rudiger. All right, so which coach? There were two coaches in that movie, the first one or the second one?
Yeah, the first one who was great, and the second one actually pitched in Major League down the line.
You're right. Yeah. Up your butt, Joe Boo. That was him.
Neither coach was as good as the custodian who really got
That's the one who's the Michael Dutton, right? Is that who it is?
Charles Dutton.
And he, the movie is, the script is broadly written, but it's still good, you know?
What, Rudy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, yeah, they take some liberties.
And right. Ron Favreau's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Vince Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. It's an awful movie. It's just the worst.
Nick hates that movie.
I hate that movie.
Though Regis Philbin loved it, you know.
You hate that movie because you hate Notre Dame.
Yeah, actually, I think the movie's really cheesy, too. I just don't really care for it.
Okay.
It just didn't speak to me. And also, I hate Notre Dame, so two reasons.
What I hate is the fact that Rudy's family wouldn't believe him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Come on.
You pieces of crap.
Your brother.
Right. Fighting Irish fans are like Yankees fans. It's too easy. Or Cowboys fans.
Let's see. All right. There's a few of these. I'm going to go to, and they're both named Tom. Two guys named Tom. Here's the first Tom that called in. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Hey. I think this guy won an Oscar for his role, but Mick in Rocky, Burgess Meredith.
Mickey. I guess he'd qualify. Yeah.
Did he win an Oscar?
He did for Rocky.
I didn't
Best Supporting
that.
Actor. Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he won it for the third movie. No.
The one he was dead in?
I don't feel so good. I think I got a little bit of the... I got my uterus hurts.
Thanks,
You don't
Tom.
Have one of those, Rocky. Mickey, you don't have a uterus.
I don't. What I got a hysterectomy for?
Even Rocky knows that.
I'm stupid. I know you don't got a hysterectomy. You don't need one. You don't got a uterus.
What?
You don't got an uterus.
What's that, Rock?
You don't got an uterus.
Uterus?
I tell you, I think I got to have mine removed. You don't got one. Men do not have uteruses.
Men do not have uteruses.
Men, it's truth. Men do not got uteruses.
All right, here's Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Rip Torn from Dodgeball.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Do you remember the rules of Dodgeball? Isn't it duck, dodge? There's like three, and dodge is twice in the list. Well, Nick, if you can,
if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Right,
I do know that. What was that character's name? Joe, do you remember?
Patches.
Patches, that's it.
Patches.
Yes, and it was Hank Azaria who played him in the younger version. Yeah.
I love when they're going through the casino and the Luck of the Irish light thing above the slot machine falls down and crushes Patches O'Houlihan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dodge, then, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
And then the jerk coach in that movie would have been Ben Stiller's character.
Yes.
Who was just fantastic all the way around. All right. Anyhow.
In your face, LeFleur.
thought it would be worth chit-chatting about. But listen, I want to take a break because we want to stay on time. Thank you for your calls, and those we didn't get to, I apologize. But we need to come back because we have your chance to win $500, and I know you want to do that. It's called No Sad Dough, but we will whet your appetite.
Oh.
By giving this away right now, I have a $25 gift card from Old State Tavern, who brought in all kinds of stuff. They brought in cheesesteaks. They brought in broccoli bites, nachos. Their famous bee sting wings are known for their wings. So we'll take caller number 7, and I'll set you up with a $25 gift card, 215-263-WMMR. They're on State Street in Media, and you can enjoy watching games there, socially distanced, indoors, by the way.
Their onion rings are awesome.
Plenty of large TVs, and Old State Tavern opens every day at noon. We're going to take a break, and we will be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Monday nights.
Metallica family, are you with us?
It's not just Monday. It's Metallica Monday. Join MMR's Jackie Bam Bam for massive amounts of Metallica every Monday night starting at 9. From the monster hits to deeper album cuts, spanning a Hall of Fame career.
This is Robert,
Kurt, Lars,
and James from Metallica.
We're covering all the bases from one of rock's biggest bands. Check out WMMR.com for more from Metallica. News, videos, and interviews with MMR DJs. Metallica, Mondays, 9 p.m.
With Jackie Bam Bam right here on 93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
So we got about 2.5 minutes before we're going to dive into our next special word for No Sad Dough. 7 times. Chance to win today. So we got a couple minutes to kill. I did briefly mention this last week, but I'll expand a little bit more, that the fact that both of our Day Off on the Slopes events are canceled for this
right.
year. And we would say postponed, but you get a small window of weather that you have to deal with. And so we're going to put it off. So we're going to set our sights for next year. And as is said in this little information sheet, we got to thank everybody who's joined us for more than 20 years of Day Off series of events. And, of course, thanks to our friends at Jack Frost Mountain for hosting so many crazy, memorable, awesome moments over those years.
And for the record, we got it in last year.
Mm-hmm. We did.
We got the Cardboard Classic in. It was the last big event we did.
Yeah, yep. And, in fact, by the way, the mountain is still open for skiing.
Yes.
It's by appointment only at jfpb.com. But there's no way we can do a large gathering like that in the conditions that we have now. Now, we are working on something else that might be happening. We'll let you know if that does come together concerning the Cardboard Classic.
Our mindset is to not just cast these things into the ether. We're going to come up with versions to kind of bridge the gap because we have every confidence we'll be back to doing the things you love. But that doesn't mean that we can't get a little creative. Maybe come up with some stuff that'll port into the new versions of things that we do.
Yeah.
But it's, listen, it's. I think they're going to like this when we unveil it. Yeah. We don't want to reveal too much now, but it's fun.
And all the other events that we annually have, they're just kind of fluid right now.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to wait and see, and that's the way it's become the norm to just kind of wait and see when schedules might pop up. So if you're wondering about things like, you know, Keenan's and so on, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens, and we'll get information when that information's available.
Listen, Kathy, aren't you coming up with a activities list of
I mean, I have one if you want.
What is it for? Is it for just
like winter blues?
Winter blues. Okay.
So maybe we got to do that.
We'll unleash that soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have it all ready to go, or
I can get it ready. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be right. Easy.
So in the very near future, we'll have to crank that out. So anyhow, I just wanted to mention that. And one more thing, we have a new Daily Rush video that's up. It's called A Gift for Preston's Wife. It says Preston is having trouble finding a gift for his wife. Steve suggests something that'll knock her socks off. I don't remember it. Exactly what it was, but there is a digitized or what would you call that?
Pixelated?
A pixelated picture of what looks like it might be a dildo on this little info sheet that I have before me. So you can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com, and it's sponsored by Punchline Philly Fishtown's First Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar. It is now 10 o'clock. It is time to do this.
93.3 WMMR presents No Sad Dough.
All right, here's your word. Worth $500. Don't miss your opportunity to win it right now. The word is wallet. Spelled W-A-L-L-E-T. Where you're going to put that $500. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways to do it. Number one, via text to the special contest short code number, which is 45911, or to be automatically entered for the $10,000 grand prize as well. Enter the MMR, enter on the MMR app or at WMMR.com. The word wallet, W-A-L-L-A-T. One random winner is going to get $500 in this company-wide contest, and that person will get a call from Beasley. So be sure to answer your phone. Contest rules at WMMR.com. I'll give you that word one more time. It's wallet. Good luck to you.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Horizon Services. They take the stress out of your winter heating problems by taking $50 off any heating repair. 2-year guarantee include. You can visit horizonservices.com. A man with 20 cases pending in Superior Court and who led police in a weapon to a weapons stockpile on his property was arrested after police said he violated the conditions of his release on bond. Namely, here's how he violated the conditions of his release. Removed his court-appointed GPS bracelet and mailed it to the Office of Probation.
You're not supposed to do that.
No, why would you mail it back to them if you don't want them to know about it? The man, Michael Gramagna, was arrested. He was charged with 11 counts of failure to appear, 1 count of violation of his protective order. He was
I didn't want to steal it.
He was held in lieu of $5.3 million.
Wow. Jesus.
State police said they learned that Gramagna had removed his GPS device and worked collaboratively with the FBI and the Manchester Police Department to find and arrest him.
Oh, Gramagna.
He was charged with third-degree strangulation, third-degree assault, second-degree unlawful restraint, and disorderly conduct.
Other than that, he's probably a nice guy.
Yeah, he's probably a pretty decent guy. They ordered him to surrender 21 guns that were registered to him. While police had seized guns and ammunition from him, they learned that he hadn't given up all of his weapons and additional guns were still on the property. But maybe mailing in his GPS device.
This thing's uncomfortable.
Wouldn't be a good idea if you wanted to stay incognito. People in a neighborhood of Shefford, UK, say a silver VW Golf car has been parked in the same spot on George Street since December of 2019 and has become an eyesore. One of the car's tires is now flat. The inside of the car is full of litter. Residents have reported the car on several occasions to various local authorities, but nothing was done. So last month, when the silver car had been parked there for a year, they threw the car a birthday party. They covered the car in party decorations, including happy birthday banners, balloons tied to the wing mirrors, and a white sheet taped across the windshield reading happy 1 year.
I freak out when I've had it happen a couple times where there's a vehicle that just, like a dumpy vehicle that's parked and you wonder if it's abandoned.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's an eyesore.
The hope is that drawing attention to the car will lead to something being done about it. Hasn't been done yet, but they're working on that. You remember, I think it was when Mayor Street was in office and they had done a tally of cars and it was like 40,000 abandoned cars around Philadelphia.
We had a truck outside a rotting pickup truck outside our house on this right across from our street, side street. And everyone would walk in and go, "What is with this thing?" And eventually it just disappeared.
Yeah,
thank God.
A male nurse in Indonesia has been suspended after admitting that he stripped off his personal protective equipment to have sex in the toilet with a man who was infected with COVID-19. Oh.
So he followed all the guidelines.
The National Nurses Association said it is true that there has been a suspected incident of a same-sex relationship between a health worker and a COVID-19 patient at the Wisma Atlet Emergency Hospital. He said the nurse must follow legal processing.
Stay 6 feet apart, wash your hands, and have sex with gay lovers in the bathroom.
The incident in Jakarta came to light when the patient had boasted about his rump on his Twitter account on Friday.
Oh, what a good day.
He uploaded a screenshot of WhatsApp messages between the horny couple, including details about lubricants and the size of their genitals.
That's what I'd talk about.
Patient also posted an image of the nurse's PPE lying on the floor as the pair got it on.
I thought you'd say pee-pee.
No, the case has been transferred to the Central Jakarta Police. The patient continues to undergo isolation at the athlete's house, referring to a former Olympic athlete's accommodation village that was transformed into a coronavirus hospital. The two men were later administered coronavirus tests. The patient was still found to be positive, while the nurse was negative.
The nurse. It's a type of medical individual.
A nurse.
Yeah.
I am a nurse.
Yeah.
A nurse.
I'm a nurse. I'm between a nurse and a doctor. Yeah. A nurse.
A Grand Rapids woman is thankful to be around this holiday season after a car plowed into her home. Wood panels are now up at Mary Scanlon's home. They're a reminder of what happened last Wednesday. So she was drinking coffee, waiting for her daughter to drop off her grandson around 7:45 a.m. when a car slammed into her house. And her quote was, "All of a sudden, the wall exploded. I just remember looking down, and I had a VCR on my chest."
That's kind of cool, though.
I'm more shocked she still has a VCR. Mary's sister...
I was just going to put one of the tapes to the matlock in there, and then I'll...
Mary's sister went outside to see what happened. That's when she noticed a younger kid drove about 4 feet inside to the home.
I can't find my beeper.
She said, my partners got there first and were able to remove the debris, but we were able to see that she had quite a significant laceration to her left shin and just above her right eye.
Where's my pet rock?
At first, Mary wanted to stay home, but paramedics told her she needed to go to the hospital, and now she has 10 stitches in her forehead and 12 in her right leg.
So it could have been much worse, though.
She needed to go to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was also her 65th birthday.
Man, she's probably going to get another VCR.
Yeah, maybe. You should hope so.
Well, unwrap this. It's another VCR.
All right, and we'll just wrap it up there. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. We're going to take a break. We're going to give another one of these $25 gift. Well, you know what? First, let me remind you of the word that we have for No Sad Dough. It's wallet. All right, W-A-L-L-E-T. And you have 15 minutes till after the hour to enter that. So get on it. There's like 7.5 minutes left. You can do it through our contest short code number 45911. Or if you'd like to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it with the MMR app. Or at WMMR.com. Now I want to give away our last gift card. $25 gift card for caller number 15 at 215-263-WMMR. And that is for our friends at the Old State Tavern. 38 State Road in Media. Their website is oldstatetavern.com. Serving ice cold Bud Light and great food, including their legendary wings. So 215-263-WMMR. Caller 15, you get it. We'll take a break. Come back in a second. Lesson question, trash and music news on the way. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm going to do the lesson question. I'm going to pose the question to you. We are going to give away a Fandango Now rental code for the premiere video on demand release of News of the World with Tom Hanks. So let's give you one that wasn't that long ago. Sometimes we go back really early in the morning, but we'll do this one later in the show. And you have to pronounce this correctly. According to Rocky, which female organs do men not have? You remember how to pronounce that? 215-263-WMMR. According to Rocky, which female organs do men not have? 215-263-WMMR. Call now. We'll do the trash while you are calling.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's check the stories. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, some interesting stuff. Khloe Kardashian getting some Instagram love from Tristan Thompson after she posted a sexy selfie and he commented, quote, "My queen." Thompson then added, "To this day, the only woman I've ever seen take a hoagie sideways."
Oh, my God.
It's over for Love Island USA couple Celie Vasquez and Johnny Middlebrooks.
who yesterday announced they had split up. Yeah, I know. Vasquez opined that though they had forged their love together in paradise, it was sharing a studio apartment with a Murphy bed that tore it apart.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Zendaya on the cover of GQ revealing that she was stunned to find out that so many people in Hollywood initially assumed she was cold and mean. The actress explained, saying she's very shy, and many of the talentless hack bastards were too stupid to see it. And that's your Hollywood draft.
All righty, let's see if somebody knows the answer to the question today. According to Rocky, which female organs do men not have? Ooh. And we are going to go to John, see if he knows the answer. Hey, John, good morning.
What's up, bitches?
Yo, bitch. All right, so what female organs do men not have?
They don't have uteruses.
Uteruses. Yeah. Well done, John. One moment. We are going to give you the Fandango Now rental code for the premium video on-demand release of News of the World. Critics are calling News of the World a towering piece of movie making. Tom Hanks is magnificent, from director Paul Greengrass. And Universal Pictures presents Tom Hanks in News of the World, rated PG-13, in theaters now on demand this Friday, January 15th. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
We will begin with, let's see, I thought this one was kind of fun. Corey Taylor, who we've had on the program before.
Yes.
Shared a teaser for the official music video for his single called Samantha's Gone on Twitter. Fans can check out the full video, which features a guest appearance by Steel Panther.
Hey. Awesome.
Which will be tomorrow. You'll be able to see the full video. That's great.
I love Steel Panther.
I do, too. You can find the video online at thecoreytaylor.com. Samantha's Gone is featured on Taylor's debut solo album, CMFT, which was released in October.
You know, does a fair amount with Steel Panther, Sid Wilder.
She did a video with him. Yeah, I do know that. Third Man Records will release Vault Package number 47, Jack White, live at the Masonic Temple. And fans can sign up for the package now through January 31st. This recording of his July 30, 2014 show at Detroit's Masonic Temple is presented over four colored LPs inside a custom slipcase cover. The package also includes a exclusive 7-inch featuring White's 2020 Saturday Night Live performance, which was pretty wild. 38-song set and spans his entire recording career. This is at the live show. It includes covers of Beck's Devil's Haircut, Zeppelin's Lemon Song, Hank Williams' Ramblin' Man, and Junior Wells' Hoodoo Man. So that is available. Despite having performed Nirvana songs on special occasions, Dave Grohl maintains that he's not comfortable ever singing the late Kurt Cobain's lyrics in public. He said, "I wouldn't feel comfortable singing a song that Kurt sang. I feel perfectly at home playing those songs on the drums. And I love playing with them, with Chris and Pat and another vocalist. And I still have dreams that we're in Nirvana, that we're still in a band. I still dream that there's an empty arena waiting for us to play. But I don't sit down at home and run through Smells Like Teen Spirit by myself. It's just a reminder that the person who is responsible for those beautiful songs is no longer with us. It's bittersweet." Dave, who went on to recall his first bonding with Kurt upon joining Nirvana in 1990, and he said, "When I first joined the band, it was so much fun. I lived on the couch in Kurt's living room. We rehearsed in a barn. Mm. We set up our gear and played those songs, and people bounced around and got hot and sweaty. I really loved the connection and the appreciation that Nirvana's audience had.
I tell you, this music's Nirvana. Hey!
With the band." Let's see. During a chat with Tim McGraw, Bruce Springsteen spoke candidly about his workout regimen.
"I don't want to talk to you."
Wow.
Sounds like,
well, sound like him.
I think he's not willing to really discuss things.
"I want to say it's an honor meeting Quick Draw McGraw."
Right. The boss, who is now...
No, I'm Tim McGraw.
Who is now 70...
Yeah, I thought you didn't look like a horse.
Who is now 71, could easily be mistaken for a man 25 years younger. I explained how he keeps in such fantastic physical shape, saying the biggest thing is diet, diet, diet. He said, "I don't eat too much. And I don't eat bad food except for every once in a while when I want to have some fun for myself. So I think anybody that's trying to get in shape, exercise is always important, of course. But diet is 90% of the game."
Yeah, Tim McGraw's pretty cut up.
Well, this is Bruce.
I know.
About. Yeah.
So that's where they were trading their little diet secrets.
Bruce, whose bandana and buffed up pumping iron biceps came to define the mid-1980s, admitted, I don't do that much right now, meaning lifting weights. He said, I lift a little weight to stay toned.
I like kangaroo yoga.
He said, I may get on the treadmill. I walk, but I don't run anymore. But he does try to stay active and watches what he eats. And finally, the self-titled Go-Go's 2020 career-spanning documentary is set for Blu-ray release on February 5th.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. The critically acclaimed Allison Eastwood film chronicles the L.A. band from the city's punk scene all the way to the upper reaches of the Billboard charts while delving into their ugly split and eventual reunion.
Unless we forget that MMR plays a part in that.
Yeah.
Because some of the concert footage was given with permission from WMMR.
Yeah, the recordings were used from MMR, which is pretty cool. And that's what I have in music news. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Get ready to wrap the whole thing up. Make sure you stay with us. We'll give you the details on No Sad Dough. There's plenty more money to be won. Be right back.
MMR spotlights the best rock in Philadelphia with Jackson's Local Shots.
That's right, and this month's band is Party Muscles. Muscles, your local Shots artist of the month. Check them out every Wednesday at 6:30 right here on the Mighty MMR.
And you can hear and see more now at WMMR.com. Keyword local shots.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Philly.
A beautiful morning. And wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it just be fantastic if you walked out of this beautiful day $500 richer? Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be great. Yeah, be but great. You think that's going to happen?
No. I don't know, John. You think that's going to happen?
Absolutely.
What'd you do, man?
I just text in the keyword to MMR and won $500.
How about them apples, people? That's how we do it. Excellent. John, where are you from, man?
Hatfield, PA.
From where?
Hatfield.
From Hatfield. Excellent. Yes. Nice job. And what do you do, John?
I drive for a local car company.
All right. I got you. All good, man. You've been an MMR listener for many days?
Absolutely. Probably at least 10 years.
Excellent. Not bad. Well, we appreciate it. Just a little nod, a little thank you is what we do with the No Sad Dough. So we got $500 to pass along to you, my friend. Thanks so much for listening, John. We appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys rock.
Excellent, buddy. All right. Hatfield won $500, and you don't have one more chance today. You don't have two more chances. You don't have three more chances. You have five more chances today alone to win $500. I love the fact that we're knocking this out seven times a day.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so Pierre will have your next shot, and that will be at noon. Essentially, just think 8 a.m. and then the on the even hours up until 8 p.m. So
it's almost like we're printing money, but we're not. We're giving away legitimate money.
Actual money.
Yeah.
So you can spend this money if you like.
It's legal tender.
We will have that coming up in a little while, and we're not done.
What?
It's Tattoos Day. Yeah. So I guess we better get a winner for that. Winning a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing is Eric Reich from Phoenixville. Yeah. Nice job, Eric. You get yourself some Preston and Steve ink, courtesy of Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. By the way, they are located at 1729 South Street, Philadelphia. Want to check out some of their artists and their work? Samples are available at floatingworldtattoos.com. Their Instagram handle is at Floating World Tattoos as well. So congratulations. I'd like to thank Deuces Rogers for coming on the show today. Yay. Just checking in with Deuces. He's great. And we talked to Doug Peterson getting fired yesterday. We got our 2 cents from Deuces, so we appreciate that. And we also had a coach on. Elaine Vigneault was on the program today from your Philadelphia Flyers. And their season starts tomorrow night. And he's a great guy. It was good to talk to him. And I want to thank Old State Tavern for bringing by all the food and all the giveaways. And don't forget, they serve incredible food made with the freshest ingredients, all offered at reasonable prices. If you want to check out their menu or place a takeout order, you can visit oldstatetavern.com, and they are located in the great town of Media, PA, in Delaware County. So thank you very much. Pierre is here. Good morning to you.
And to you, good morning.
How's life?
Excellent.
Nice. Happy to hear that.
How are you kids?
Doing well.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we can do the letter of the day if you're ready to go with that. So
I am.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
A is in Arnold.
All right. And we now have two letters. We're going to need three more. Winner, simple prize, $300 cash. And I think you could use that as well. So if you don't win the...
That's you.
Yeah, sorry. That was, I turned up the tattoo.
What the hell happened?
I turned it off.
I don't know why. I was still...
I turned it off.
No one made me aware.
Nobody made me aware.
All right. Anyway. Situation.
I know.
What's up on the show today, man?
A finer impersonation of Rocky. You would be hard-pressed to hear by.
Very true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncanny.
Uncanny. I mean...
he becomes Rocky.
Yeah. Well, no, he does. He inhabits Rocky.
By the way, if there is an uncanny, is there a canny?
There is a canny.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Canny.
What does canny mean?
A canny...
opposite? Uncanny means exactly the same, right?
We have
it really does.
Sale.
Like, he cannily... Yeah.
Wait. There's a can-can sale?
There's a can-can. You remember.
ShopRite has a can-can.
Hey, can-can. ShopRite,
can-can. That's been going on for 30 years.
What?
It's like Toyota-thon.
Yeah.
Right. It actually never ends.
Here is the dictionary. Here's the definition of canny. Having or showing shrewdness and good judgment, especially in money or business matters.
So it's not opposite.
No, it's not
something is uncanny. It's within the same realm.
Right.
Some of those words are very...
Wait, okay. So it is?
Yeah.
Then I'm using it wrong.
You're showing unshrewdness and bad judgment.
Yeah, because
right.
Uncanny I've always used as it's the same.
But
it's identical. But
yeah.
It doesn't really mean that.
Uncanny impression.
Yeah.
So,
it's spot on.
I think, yes, people have always assumed that that's the...
That
it's
means
got to be. That, you know, I'm kind of a bit of a wordsmith. I've always used it that way, yeah.
Yeah, and you're great with words.
Nick, look up uncanny.
Okay. It's possible. Using it incorrectly. I've heard it used that way.
You don't even have to do that. You can just look up antonyms on...
It's right here. The definition is here.
But wait a minute.
Seeming to have a supernatural character or origin is what uncanny means. Being beyond what is normal or expected.
Yeah.
Suggesting superhuman or supernatural powers. Uncanny X-Men.
Right. Right.
Ah.
So if you say that it's uncanny, it's almost otherworldly. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
But that's not what uncanny is.
I'd never put... No, it's not. So why would it... Wouldn't... Because the prefix un would seem to suggest opposite, correct?
Right.
Or my head hurts.
Well, not to confuse matters, but what about gruntled and disgruntled?
Right.
Because we heard disgruntled all the time, but I'm feeling very gruntled today.
Yeah. Yes. You look gruntled.
Thank you.
You look wonderfully gruntled.
And I'm, but you don't ever hear that.
You ever hear the song?
A gruntled worker had a great day today.
Yeah.
Right.
He brought donuts to the office.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, he was so gruntled. You ever hear Uncanny by Hall & Oates? It's a good song. You know it?
No.
It's a 70s era Hall & Oates, and they sing a song about something being uncanny.
You ever hear Maneater?
Maneater's a good song, too.
Yeah.
I also like Private Eyes.
You ever seen the Blue Man Group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just read both of the Smurfs.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever seen a musical?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, it's good music.
Yeah.
Huh. Yep. I like flavor.
Ever been to a diner?
Okay. Yep.
Yeah,
I mean, we were actually talking about the word uncanny.
We were.
So I was trying to,
It's an uncanny conversation that we're
having. Thank you.
Give me 2 seconds. We're going to back it up here just a second.
And I got to get to the rewind.
I'm going to air. Pierre, what's on the show today?
Thank you for asking, Preston. It's a tight show as usual. It's going to be Rod Stewart, Rob Zombie, and Eagles.
Ooh.
Rob over and out.
Over.
I got a tight show. Got to go.
Out.
Are you going from Rod Stewart into Rob Zombie?
I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. Well, because Rod Stewart and the Eagles are both on the older side, I'll probably put Rob Zombie in the middle.
Right.
So, because Rod had a birthday, was it yesterday, the day before? And, or maybe it's today or tomorrow.
Rob's birthday is today.
Rob Zombie, and maybe Eagles have a birthday.
You know, they formed a super group for a while, Rob Zombie and Rod Stewart. It was Rod Zombie.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Rod Zombie. Damn, I thought I'd seen everybody.
Yeah.
They were a very gruntled group, though.
They were
very gruntled. They got along wonderfully. All right, I want to thank our sponsors. The
Uncanny, I tell you.
This may be the last day we have these sponsors. Okay, brought to you by Acme Markets Fresh Foods, local flavors. Also brought to you today by LASIK Experts. Book your free LASIK consultation today at LASIKExperts.com. And tomorrow, what?
A text just came in. This conversation is very whelming.
Yes.
That's great.
Over or under?
I don't know.
All right, anyway. Tomorrow we go live on Fox Good Day.
We'll
have stuff to give away. No sad bro, because no sad dough continues. That's it. We are done. Ray, John, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye. No, I'd never put... So what?
With more Steve Preston podcast. Show podcast.
I'm going to do... because the pre... on prefix seemed to signal which opposite suggest... Right. Or... it correct? Or...
MMR's best rights, the
Philadelphia Rockin' with Alfia. Well, excuse me, matters about what gruntled and disgruntled.
Right.
Gruntled.
Right.
Because we heard all the tuntled. I'm feeling, but gruntling very gruntled today.
You look gruntled.
Yes. Thank you.
Wonderful.
But hear that. Don't ever hear the that.
You told
a grunt had a gurker today. Great day.
Yeah.
Right.
Donut. He brought the taste to the
eight. Yeah. Gruntled. He was so. You ever hear a Hall & Oates Annie by song? That's a good song. No, I know it. Yeah, it's era 70s hits and Paul and Oates, they song about something being about somebody.
You ever
uncanny?
Man-eater.
Man-eater, too. It's a good song. Yeah, I also like...
The Blue Man. You ever seen the Blue Man Group?
Yeah.
Just
smart. The music.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Okay.
Good music.
You know what's
cool?
Yeah.
Yep. I like flavor.
Been to a diner. Good diner.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Actually, we were the word I'm talking about.
You were.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.